Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody! Gosh, I feel like I should... Hello. as you know, this is a really big day on so many levels. Essentially, you know, it's interesting because George is calling from Australia. It's October 28th in Australia, which is the official last day of the Mayan calendar. And, you know, if everybody remembers correctly, the official beginning day of the ninth wave was essentially a tsunami and a 9.2 earthquake in Japan. So there really is tremendous shifting going on. The solar flare that we had on Sunday was a K class. You know, it literally was so big, it was still attached to the sun and it was touching the earth. So our beloved George is, you know, he's taken one for the team tonight. You know, I want it to be understood that whatever's best for George, including not going the 3 hours, including not even going 2 hours, we're all going to honor. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I totally know that. You know, let's all just, you know, we'll take nice deep breaths. We're all going through a lot of transformation. He's here. He's here, and we're going to do some talking. And you know, we're going to play it by ear because, you know, this is kind of what we're all kind of knowing. It's being spontaneous and, you know, landing on our feet and going with what is and, you know, calling it a day. I do have one shout-out to a beloved listener I had on me and Janine's show on Monday. His name is Kevin and his friends Virginia, Patrick, Brandon, and Jacob. They're out at the Etowah Indian Mounds in Carterville, Georgia. They're playing Native American flute songs and meditating and just creating a conscious connection with Mother Earth. And I just wanted to let them know that I'm, you know, way to be the change, beautiful people. We support you here on the show and, you know, right on. So I promised Kevin I would do that, and it's a pleasure to do that. And now let's welcome George to the show and my beloved Janine. Welcome, both of you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, George.
Hey, how is everybody? I've got a husky
better
voice
than you tonight. Yeah. How you doing?
Well, yeah, doing all right. It's I suppose the way I've been feeling the last couple of days is how many are feeling, and many don't get to voice it. And so I'm just like everybody else going through the processes. So really feeling the changes at the moment. And I suppose it's a good thing because it shows that I'm quite in sync, I suppose, at this stage with the cycles. So
yeah,
I'm
totally
looking at it from a positive point of view.
Right on. And
yeah,
it's just all supportive. You know, we're all, you know, human beings going through this experience, and you know, it really is a there is major shifting going on. And I agree, it's definitely a you know, it's like a 9.2.
The big squeeze.
Yeah,
the big squeeze. And The rate that this reality is compressing is incredible, and our bodies are trying to adjust regularly to the compression rate. And, you know, every now and then we feel it some days more than others, and we go through our own personal changes as well, internal changes as well.
Yeah. I've been going through a whole bunch of changes. I mean, just, you know, for me, it's to note, you know, from our first interview until today, you know, tremendous shifting is going on. And, you know, just so everybody knows, you know, me and George were speaking before the show. I know you guys don't like it when I talk much and you want to hear George. but I'm going to do a little, I'm going to do some talking tonight. Just let George kind of sit back, and he's, of course, welcome to join in always. But I'm going to be sharing some stuff and, you know, just kind of carrying the load a little bit, because so he can be here and be present and not have to carry the burden of, you know, doing all the speaking. And I you know, I trust that it'll be honored. If not, we'll delete you. I'm only joking. So anyways, I wanted to share with you, George, a couple of one was something that happened last year. Actually, it happened this year, my bad. It happened in 2011, but it began in 2010. And what it was is I kept seeing dates, or the date of February 19th. It was showing up in the what is it? I can't think of the show. It was showing up in a show, Ghost Whisperer. And then it would, like the numbers, 219, it literally became this thing for me for like 3 or 4 months, 219. And I tend to make numbers, dates, that's just who I am. And what was very interesting was in this year, in February 19th, I had actually forgotten, believe it or not, because it happened like in May, June, July of 2010. And when I finally got to February 19th of this year, what happened was I had this incredible meditation. I was not asleep. It was a guided meditation, but what I ultimately saw in the meditation was the Milky Way galaxy and the Andromeda galaxy converging.
And, wow.
Yeah, it was really, I had connected to the aspect of myself that was an Andromeda, which, I mean, I basically have always considered myself Sirian based on that experience I had on the spaceship. And, I mean, I had not gone, quote-unquote, beyond that. But, like, I found myself being a gateway keeper and this is all during this meditation, I was a gateway keeper in Paris, in Sedona, Arizona, and in the Big Pyramid in Giza.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if, you know, you had any insight, I mean, to the idea, because I've listened to pretty much everything you've done. And I know that now that Andromeda is the masculine, the Milky Way is the feminine. Could that be, you know, something to the idea of my own masculine and feminine integrating?
Well, I would say it's symbiotic. I would say it's on both levels, because the Andromeda and Milky Way galaxy are going through the process of integrating. So whatever differences they had are just now being transmuted. There's a lot of Andromedans here at the moment. And Yeah, there's quite a few that incarnate, but also hanging around the planet and interacting with people. There's quite a few, but there's also Andromedans who are still quite asleep, if you know what I mean. There are some here and there in their craft that are interacting with people that are still quite asleep, still quite limited in their awareness, because you get that in just about every system. So that's how I'm seeing it. And the integration between the masculine and the feminine on the galactic level is huge. The rift is in the process of mending between the two galaxies.
Sweet.
So the more we dissolve the differences here, then that's having an effect. Because of the microcosm of the macrocosm, everything that's going on here on the Earth is having an effect on the universe. So the, in the immediate vicinity of the Earth plane, you've got what's going on in this galaxy, and in the immediate vicinity of this galaxy outwards, the first place it's going to be affected will be Andromeda, and then it'll go out from there to other galactic systems. And when you say that you're a gatekeeper, yeah, we are, and in effect we all are, because we're ambassadors for many races, many galactic systems, many paradigms and levels of reality. So, in effect, each one of us is a gateway, a portal from this reality streaming out to all these other realities and domains, because we're representatives here for so many different races and peoples and realities.
Yeah. Now, is that also part of the organic, what they would call the serpent rope? Is Andromeda part of that?
For me, my interpretation of what the serpent rope is that it's the umbilical cord that connects the Earth to the center of the galaxy.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's the energetic stream that comes from the center of the galaxy through the sun to the Earth. That's for me what the serpent rope is. Now,
okay.
It's other things for other people. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I'm getting my information from you, so that was, right, I'm looking for what it meant from you, so, okay.
Well, I hope you get your information from you, and you take mine into consideration.
Well, no, that's true, but I guess I do kind of, well, yes, indeed, and wait till you hear my dream.
So I just picked on you and your wording there.
Yeah, no, right on. You know, I tell Janine all the time, call me out when I, you know, when I step in poo-poo. I want someone to let me know. Right on. Okay, so now, and the fact that it's happening actually in the galaxy, that's kind of prophetic, which I didn't realize. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, you've got so much energy about you that's carrying such a big load, Goldie, so... Yeah, it's hard to verbalize what I'm feeling right now about you. I'm pausing because I just can't put into words. I haven't got that complete capacity going. It's kind of like an athlete when you're really not, you know, in the zone. I'm just kind of not quite in the zone in this moment. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries. I totally honor that, and I'm glad you showed. You know, I really and nice and easy. No worries. No worries, and I appreciate that. And I think, you know, because I don't consider myself, I have the awareness now that I am a planet, and Gaia and Earth have, and Sophia clearly have helped me, you know, where to own the experience of me as a planet, and I...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge. Like what you're saying right now is so big to have that level of awareness.
Oh, right on. Yeah, it just seems like it's interesting because I don't think of it. It's the natural journey of, you know, first I went in to find me. And, you know, it's interesting because as my awareness does expand into planetary, you know, when I used to integrate aspects of myself, they were always in human form. What I am finding now is my dream state is now integrating species, not humans.
Yeah.
You know, and that seems kind of a natural progression of, you know, I'm accepting that, you know, the bar in Star Wars are aspects, not, you know, not things that are out there, but those are aspects of the beings behind the human form. You know, that is Earth, it, just without the human flesh covering it.
Yeah, it's pretty close to it.
Yeah, well,
that's a really good analogy.
Oh, thanks. Well, and it happens because, okay, so I'll go, I had a dream in the last... 2 weeks, I've had three dreams, and I would love to share them with you because I'm curious always your point of view. But it's interesting because I'm starting to get to the point where the sharing is much as I want the audience to hear it, as opposed to looking for confirmation, because I'm starting to understand this idea of being triggered within. I'm being conscious of my words now because you pointed me on that direction. So, okay, so my first dream, this is in the order that they happened. The first dream I had was I had a dream that I was in a restaurant And like I was mentioning, the Star Wars bar, I was in the restaurant and I looked around and everybody that was in the restaurant was, you know, their prime species or their star seed. You know, there were reptilians and birds and insects and cats, and it was definitely, you know, a hodgepodge of species. And when I looked around this restaurant, I had no sense of favoritism or any kind of ism that, you know, like the reptilian had to go, or, you know, I really wanted to get to know, you know, the bird person. It was like just this wonderful visual of the world, the universe opening up to me, and like a child just going, wow, you know, it was like being in Disneyland and meeting, instead of meeting all the princesses, I was meeting all the species. And, you know, it really did. It was very joyous to me because I'm always seeking. I am a truth seeker. I want to know the truth. Show it to me. Show it to me. And like you said, I don't want to read about, you know, somebody else's truth. I want to see the truth from my own experience, because then it can't be taken from me. You know, it's mine. It's in my cells. So I was really excited about that dream. And now the next dream I had, well, it got a little juicier. Because this dream happened over the weekend when I was going through some, what I call some real emotional, I went through some emotional stuff. My cat was missing, and I just went into a spin of, you know, a pretty dark place, and it reminded me of my drug addict days. That was the paranoia, the feeling of being alone, an uncontrollable spin. I got myself into an uncontrollable spin, and it was all too, you know, familiar to me from the days of doing coke. And right after that, all I kind of got that clear in my head, the following day I have a dream where I'm in my room, in the playroom where I am right now, and I have this mirror that just kind of leans against the wall. It's a full length mirror, but it's just leaning against the wall, and I looked in the mirror and I saw a reptilian. And I'm not quite sure how it happened, but I fell into the mirror. It became a portal. And when I fell into the mirror, when I looked around, it was all lizards. I mean, everybody there was reptilian. And I wasn't afraid, but I didn't have quite the joy I had in the restaurant. I mean, it was like, wow. And so I stayed for a little bit, and then I was like, okay, I'm kind of ready to go home now. You know, I just didn't really feel quite comfortable. And here's where it got really interesting was when because I had walked around a little, and then I came back, and I was like, well, maybe the best way to get out of here is try and fall through the mirror on this side. And what was so interesting was when I got to the mirror on the other side trying to get back home, when I looked in the mirror, I was reptilian. And then I woke up. And, you know, from the deepest part of my being, I really understood that, you know, this part of me needs to come home. The ascension is, I'm gathering aspects of myself. And like I said, I'm so used to thinking aspects as, you know, a Chinese person, a black person, an Aussie, whatever. But this goes deeper than that. This is about gathering, you know, the reptilian aspect, because my hawk, my cat, I have a dolphin aspect, all of those aspects, we've been home playing and having parties, you know, a few years now. But that reptilian, until I think it saw me in the restaurant, that's when it said, okay, I'm ready to come home. And I brought it in. You know, it is a part of me. I am, you know, I'm not part reptilian. There's a part of me that was completely reptilian. And
of course, we've been everything. We've been and done everything. If anybody's going to ascend and going to become a universal being, then they've got to realize that everything that exists in the universe is what they are. You can't have it both ways. You can't get all self-righteous about it and say, oh, I'm only goodness, but I'm still the whole universe. That's just crap. That's just so self-righteous.
It is.
It's so. It is. It's sanctimonious BS, is what that is. And people need to get a, you know, get a reality check, and stop getting caught up in all this, you know, ridiculous, sanctimonious, positive, white, love and light only business. The universe is made up of everything light has to offer. Both sides. The waveform goes both sides of the center line. And your full expression to the full extent on both sides of the line. People just need to really wake up and get a grip on reality. And only the courageous. That's why when I get up and I do my talks and I do my interviews, I say I've been the most evil of evil that has ever existed. Most putrid, most disgusting thing you can ever imagine. I've been it, I've done it, and I've experienced it. And I've experienced it to the full extent. And it's really, really important that people just start realizing that about themselves. Because if you don't feel you've been that, then you haven't been everything in this universe. Therefore, you cannot ascend and become, you know, fully fledged universal being. You can't do that until you've done it all. It's the way this universal creator operates. Now, I'm going to just read something out of the book that I've been writing. And it says that... Just I'm going to read a little excerpt out of my book, and it says, The Creator's ethos is that this journey you're undertaking within its universe is to be a participatory process. In other words, each one of us have been and still are co-creating with the Creator and with one another as we journey through this universe, and so therefore it is essential to really remember and know that we all are planets, stars, and galaxies as well. We also have individualized embodiments expressed in many different types of form and in many levels, but whose makeup and construct in the higher dimensions is of a much higher vibration. What an amazing revelation it is for us to remember the extent of our true essence, our consciousness, and our creations. Many people fear this concept and think it preposterous and even laughable because they have been so programmed into believing this is all they are in the way of form, and if there is any more to themselves, well, then it just has to be in the way of spirit and nothing else. You know, these programs are so limiting. I mean, it's just, to think you're just this human form and then there's just spirit and there's no more to you at all is just the most ridiculous thing. It's such entrapment, that concept. And people just need to realize just how much they have co-created in their journey in this universe. It's cutting you off. That other concept cuts you off from all your other aspects of who and what you are, all your creations, all your responsibilities. And if you continue to think that you are just human and just spirit and nothing else in this universe, then you are being led down a very, very, very limited path indeed.
Yeah, I totally agree. And
it takes a lot of courage to... In today's world, with the mental mind programs that are going on in the Matrix, it takes a lot of courage for people to get up and say, and that's where I give myself a pat on the back, that's where I give you a pat on the back, because it's not easy to get up to say what you just said, especially with the propaganda that's doing the rounds at the moment, that anything to do with a serpent energy is evil, and that's just a load of crap. I mean, the Divine Feminine did a deal with the serpent energy so she can... She can plunge herself down deep into this energetic pattern, which we call the third dimension, and she needed to do that with the help of the dragon clans and the reptilian clans. And there are good guys in amongst those clans. You know, they're not all evil. I mean, you've got to not be racist. And that's the problem. People are just... The conspiratorial realm, the propaganda in the conspiratorial realm is really thick at the moment. And people just got to rise above it and not just allow themselves to be caught up in that drama vortex. I mean, you've got to be bigger than that. Stop being so shallow. Stop being so small-minded and arrogant and self-righteous and sanctimonious about things. You know, I'm putting on the heavy word to you right now because it needs to be said. I'm kind of really over it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm getting over it. I'm working on it.
you're doing really good for someone to get up and just admit that they have a reptilian aspect to themselves. and they are integrating. Yeah, are you reptilian? Well, of course you are. If everybody who's listening to this reptilian, of course they are. If
yes.
they're not, then they haven't
yeah.
done that in this universe. They're not going to ascend. They're not ready. They'll go back to
yeah.
their self-righteous paradigm and sit there wrapped up in cotton wool, and then they're going to wait another few eons before they actually gather the courage to delve into that that paradigm and that reality and become it and express it and live it, so then they can gain the wisdom in their souls.
Yeah.
You know, you got to, you know, I'm really into, let's just tell it how it is. I'm not going to tiptoe around the tulips anymore. It's time just to be realistic about things.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, I've always said that, I'm understanding it more now, but I've always said that for some reason I have felt that I was a poster child for the dark side anyways. I didn't quite understand it, like I said, because I didn't have the depth that I'm starting to get. You know, because, I mean, in other talks that you've done, there really does reach a point in time where you understand that the dark is serving me. You know, I have not been victimized by the dark. There is an alchemical experience that, you know, my analogy is, I'm a pretty good pool player. We've always had a pool table in my house. I mean, now it's...
Oh, really?
But yeah, yeah.
I used to play April, competition April. There you go.
Yeah. Well, and I used to say, you know, if I want to know how good a pool player I am, you know, don't give me somebody who doesn't know how to shoot. You know, give me Willie Monsconi. You know, give me, you know, Fat Albert or I don't know. There's some guys... You know, but give me somebody who can, you know, who can string six balls in a row. So if I'm going to beat them, I got to string six balls in a row. And when I do string six balls and then nail the eight ball in the side pocket, I know how good I am. You know, it's like, in other words, I'm not afraid of the challenge. But, you know, and if he kicks my ass 7 out of 10 games, well, you know, I'll just keep coming back. I'll just keep coming. That's the beauty of us from the eternal aspect, you know. I really do understand from my own experience suffering. I don't understand suffering to the level you have understood, and I am, you know, truly from an empathic
Well, maybe
point
not
of view,
in this lifetime, though. Hang on. Maybe not in
okay.
this lifetime. Maybe you've gone through, you know, tortures and things in another lifetime.
Huh. Oh, right on. I mean, I know I've done some clearing on some, you know, like I felt very I was in a village in a tribe, and to be honest, we were just, you know, I was a male and I was going around killing and raping women and children, you know. It was quite a clear visual that I had during, it was actually like 250 of us all in a room clearing, you know, our darkness. And I slipped right into something and was like, okay, this is the time to do this. Because, you know, I'm kind of I understand the component of hypnosis in that, you know, there's an energy. If you let it be, it can show you deep things, but... It can show you deep things that can be healed in the acceptance of them as opposed to the denial that they ever existed. So, you know...
Yeah, denial is a really big, big problem in our world today. Because so many people live in denial of aspects of themselves. They live in denial of reality. They'd rather just believe, you know, some sort of mind control program instead of being in touch with their themselves and what's going on inside of themselves. They'd rather believe something outside of themselves. So, and the New Age movement's full of that. You know, we've got to keep it real, got to keep it simple. And
yeah,
that denial thing, it's a really big issue.
Well, and they don't, you know, the funny part is if you, you know, like you walk up to somebody, you know, it's like you want to talk about it. Let's talk about why you're not feeling good. No, you know, get away from me. And I try to tell people, it's not going to get better if you don't talk about it, you know. And it's like they don't even see the stranglehold they're in by, you know, by pushing it away. You know, it just waits outside your door and gets bigger. I mean, it.
That's really funny too. When you don't feel too well and you speak to people and they go, "Oh, how you going?" And the program will be, "Oh, I'm good, thanks." And I say to people, "Oh, I don't feel good today," because I'm honest about it. And and they go, "Oh." their reaction is incredible.
Yeah, they don't even know what to do with that.
They don't need to, yeah, because the usual response isn't to be, oh, I'm really good, thanks. But the moment you're honest, they can't handle it. They're just there, they're just confused. Like yesterday I had a hamburger and a hot chocolate yesterday at a coffee shop in a town near where I live. And there was Buddha statues all over this coffee shop and that. It was in a little country town near where I live. And the lady said, so how was your burger? I went, oh, I really enjoyed the burger. It was fantastic. She said, what about the hot chocolate? I said, that was a bit average. it wasn't that good. And she just looked at me for a moment. Yeah, you know what? And she maintained her smile. And I said, well, I'm a realist. I just got to be honest with you. And she just gave me a smile and I walked away. And I thought, yeah, I think she actually appreciated that, the honesty.
Yes, yes. Well, when we do appreciate honesty more than candy-coated bullshit, that's the way we'll have all of our, you know what I mean? Because I think, you know, people, until they, because like, one of my things that I wanted to talk about tonight was really the importance and the power, for lack of a better word, of being transparent. Because one of the things that has been coming from a clarity point of view from, I recently watched, based on something you said in another interview, I recently watched the V series, the late, ones from 2010 and 2011. And, you know,
I haven't seen them all. I saw a handful of them. Yeah, I saw a handful of them. That is really intense, that show, isn't it?
Yeah. And I basically watched them, literally, both seasons. I bought them right on Amazon. I watched them for like 12 hours one day.
Wow.
And, you know, it tends to be, I tend to be a balls to the wall. You know, if you're going to go dive deep and, you know, worry about the oxygen tank later. but what's becoming very clear to me is the level of deception that is constantly a part of the game that gives the reptilian whole agenda the power that it has. It's all based on, can you be there and not tell the truth? Because I'm going, you know, at this point, in all honesty, I can't lie. You know, I don't know how people hold double lives. You know, whether
you sounded like James Carey for a moment there.
I like Jim Carrey too. Well, and
that's hilarious.
It's starting to come clear to me though that when I don't lie to myself and or others, it's the world coming at me is also as
Are you there? Hello? I can't hear you all of a sudden. Shall I call back in? Hello? Hello?
George?
Yes.
Hello? You hear me?
Hello. Yeah, I can.
Hi.
Hi.
I mean, we can talk to each other. I'm the genie.
Are you?
Was I talking to you? Well, I'm talking by myself.
What are you doing? Hello?
What? Hello? John, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You can hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh. It's nice to talk with you. I'm Virginia from Sicily. Do you remember I wrote you a week ago?
Oh, hello, Virginia. How
control
in the moment.
Yeah, indeed. Take a breath.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody in the chat room, let's all take a breath. Let's get centered and supportive so we can, you know, create a space that George can reconnect. George? George?
Yes.
Oh.
Hello.
Okay, wait a minute. Keith, I have two Skypes with, I don't know which one you are, so can you just talk for a few minutes so I can see? I got to mute you to know which one you are.
Sure. This is me bambling on because you want to mute me. Because you don't want to mute
that
me.
That was a paradox. Okay, actually, I muted the other one, okay. And I can still hear you, so you must be the other one. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm glad you came back. Yeah. And listen, if this is a telltale of, you know, if the night should end here, you just have to let me know, and we all support that completely.
Yeah, no dramas. No, I'm having fun. I'm in a nice space, so, yeah.
Okay. Right on. I love you,
that's
warrior. and me and Janine will be the nurturers. We got you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, where were we?
We were battling something.
Yeah. We got some pretty heavy stuff out. I sort of had a bit of a spit, which is good. I got it out of my system, and
there's some
things that just need to be said in the way they need to be said. So some people might think I'm being a bit harsh, but I'm just grabbing you by the scruff of the neck and just giving you a bit of a slap around. And so every now and then we need that. We need a friend to do that every now and then, just to snap us out of our, you know,
exactly.
That little trance state that we're in.
I agree with that. I think that's a
true grip on reality.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I tell my friends, if I've got a booger hanging out my nose, let me know. Don't be afraid. Jesus, I'd rather know than walk around smiling and everybody staring at it. Really now?
Yeah, hilarious.
So, you know what? Let's. Are you up for? You want to? We'll take a question from the chat room. You know, bring them in.
Sure.
Sure. Okay, Janine, you want to pick a question? And
the chat room is quite active, and you know, with the disconnection, everybody was wondering what is going on, and they were, you know, interesting that, some people were suggesting that it was because of the energy, which I
agree with that.
Yeah, but. We don't really have many questions here.
You know what? Because I got his forum, and I really want to honor the forum people.
Okay, so go with that. Yes.
Okay, exactly. Okay, so you know what? I'm just going to start at the top. All right, Nachos. That's his screen name. I don't know who he is otherwise, or it could even be female. Nacho. George talked about galaxies that used to be at war with each other. What happens when galaxies go to war with each other?
The same as when anyone goes to war with each other. They have an intergalactic war, and it can be quite vicious to the extent where whole galaxies have been lost because of the wars. So there has been some very painful experiences in the cosmos due to conflict, and there's empires that are intergalactic. That's what we're experiencing. What we've been exposed to here is an intergalactic cabal because, you know, we talk about the reptilians. But the question asked is, who controls the reptilians?
Yeah.
And then who controls their controllers? And I mean, it all eventually ends up back at the creator. So that's reality. All of the negative energies end up being orchestrated and controlled by the creator itself. So that's pretty obvious, really. That's a no-brainer, I'd like to think. If it exists in this universe, then it's under the control of the creator. It can't not be. Even though it appears as though it wouldn't be, it all actually is. A lot of pain, a lot of conflict. I mean, it depends on the history of who the beings are, the consciousness of those galaxies, and to the type of war, to the type of conflict, when the two are in conflict, what kind of energy is resulting, what kind of energy was the source energies for the conflict to have started in the first place, what sort of karmic energy, what sort of energetic patterns and expressions that each of those galaxies have, what are they trying to achieve with that? Because there's so many reasons, because it's like you take two people here and you look at their personalities, and why does a conflict here on the earthly plane begin? What are the reasons for it? And so when you look across the human race, there's a whole menagerie, a plethora of reasons why people are in conflict. And it's the same out there. There's a whole lot of different type of countless almost galaxies. So they each have their own unique personality, and the reasons why they go to conflict differ between the galaxies. It's not one rule fits all. It's not. And some resolve in peace. I mean, when you have two people here on this earth plane that are resolving their conflicts, and it does stem out to galaxies now out there resolving their conflicts as well. So instead of two galaxies now going to war or continue to be at war out there, the ambassadors of each of those galactic consciousnesses that are incarnate on Earth, when they resolve their differences, the energetic patterns are streaming out to these galactic realities, and the energetic patterns of the resolved issues here and the actual energetic patterns during the resolution of the conflict are all being recorded, are all being studied greatly. And so the elder councils of each of those galaxies can say, look, these are the energetic patterns we need to now get our people to head towards. We need to start expressing these patterns. So how do we change ourselves so we can now express these energetic patterns? So you could have a conflict here that gets resolved over a period of a week, and it might take a few eons and eras of time on a galactic level to reconcile those differences.
Wow. Yeah, that takes away the whole, we are just, puny little people on a puny little planet.
It's not just about us either as individuals. We're so self-absorbed. And it's not just about us. I'm still in my cocoon most of the time. It's only every now and then I break out and reconsider the bigger prospects. So, yeah, I'm still in it too. I get all self-absorbed, and it's all about me, and play the victim.
Me too.
I had a big spit yesterday. I had a really, really big spit yesterday. I was swearing and carrying on. It was enormous. I was in a real state yesterday, and I just had enough. So I just had to shout it out. I couldn't hold it in anymore. So I was swearing and carrying on and just saying, what the? why is this so bleeding hard? What? Anyway.
Yeah.
I appreciate
your honesty, George. I so appreciate it because, this is, we are at some level at the end. Shucks, you're literally there, meaning tomorrow is the end of the calendar. So on some level, the cycle is closing and, we're exhausted.
Welcome to your future.
Yeah.
Here's George speaking to you from the future.
Literally, yes. Even with the sniffles and then a little spit bomb. We'll take it.
Something of that. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm in the future and you guys are a day behind. What a load of crap.
I know, right?
Yeah.
dollar short and a day late.
Yeah.
Janine, were you going to say something?
Well, there is a question here. One was very, could George please explain ascension? But then someone else asked, if we ascend, will we ascend even though we haven't worked through all our issues? What happens to our issues after we ascend? Are they just waived or dissolved?
Where's that shortcut? Everybody's looking for the Candyland shortcut.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a great question. Go ahead.
Yeah, you don't have to consciously work through your issues. That's another thing I want to make clear here. It's we get caught up in these notions, I will say, that you have to do this and you have to do that, and you got to, it's not like that. You got to learn to be yourself as you live your day. Sure, there are some things you need to address, but I mean to be so militant about your state of being is really detrimental. People get really, pardon the expression, really anal about what you got to do. You got to meditate. You got to clear that emotional thing. Then you got to clear. Look, I express myself like that. I've got an emotional issue there. Oh, I better start working on that. And they just get so anal retentive about all this process of ascension. I say to people, it doesn't work like that. As long as you feel within yourself that some issues need addressing, address them. Don't walk around thinking that none need addressing either. I mean, nobody's perfect. If anybody was, they'd be shining a great light. And it's just not reality. So just take it easy on yourself. So it's kind of like that. It's finding that balance. It's walking between the world of knowing that we're here to reintegrate and rebalance ourselves, but also you don't want to be swinging the pendulum all the way at the other end and being so anal retentive about things on one end of the spectrum and then just sitting back and not doing absolutely nothing about it on another. It's not like that. It's always about balance. So try and find that balance between everything and don't be too militant and too hard on yourselves either about it. If that's and things are being actually transmuted subconsciously as well. It's okay. Just don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
You don't need standover tactics within yourself. You don't have to stand there like a, like a nasty old teacher that stands over you while you're trying to do your homework, and just waiting like a cat, just waiting to pounce, The moment we start being like that, like too self-analytical, it's good to be self-analytical. It's good to analyze ourselves, to be what I call the transpersonal self, the third aspect of self, where you can, you can sit there and you can actually observe yourself, be the observer within yourself. But make sure that observer doesn't turn into a really strict, militant overlord as well.
Yeah.
Because that just is creating more internal division.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a hard, strict parent,
Yeah. Yeah, I would think people would want to get to know themselves. I mean, I know I'm selfish. I know I am. But truth be told, I want to know, who am I? I mean, because I guess I kind of had a realization, I had to say, I don't know, somewhere about 5 years ago, simply because I have no idea when I had it, so I just grabbed numbers out of the air. But I did have a realization at one point that said, the only thing that's going through eternity with me is me. So maybe it's time to get to know me. Who is Golden Hawk? Go ahead.
That's really the golden key, is what you just said there. And you said it in one way, and I'm going to express it in another.
Okay.
The first thing is self-acceptance, because you can sit there and you can look at everything that's wrong with you and say, well, that's wrong, I've got to fix it. That's wrong, I've got to fix it. That's wrong, I've got to fix it. And you get all analytical. You're going back to being analytical, heady, and ideological. And, you're just constantly focusing on the negatives. And then because you focus on the negatives, also this other thing that occurs, because we're talking, it's duality and compression. So the intensity of that the flip side to being all analytical and heady is you become self-righteous because I'm good now. I've worked on all that. I'm good. There's nothing wrong with me. No, it's you. And we start judging and treating people that way. And so you get this dualistic sort of thing going, oh, no, the number one thing that's going to do it more than anything else, it all starts with accepting, embracing and accepting those aspects of yourself. You do that, then you're coming from a place of love, from a place of nurturing,
yeah,
and understanding and compassion and empathy and all that. And then the way you go about transmuting those issues within yourself, much easier. It's an easier way to go about it. Like I had some friends over, and you know, 6 years I was celibate. I did not drink, smoke. I didn't do anything of those things. No sugar, no caffeine. I went like a monk for 6 years, basically, prior to meeting Cynthia, and that becomes very detrimental to one's well-being. I assure you that. Ideologically, it's a nice idea, but realistically, it's not. And I know that from other lifetimes, as being Buddhist monk and having a priestly lifetime as well. So I'm coming from personal experience. And I've had some pretty serious debates with Buddhist monks in this lifetime and in other realities as well. And I had some friends come over and I decided to have a bit of a drink. And I really went for it. And I hadn't had a drink like that for 9 years. And my goodness, it was just this biggest release. And I'm not going to do it again, but I just need to do it that one more time. And I sat there, and part of me after I did it, because I wasn't feeling too good the next day, so part of me after I did it was, why did I do this? Oh, I'm stupid. Oh, look, you're falling back in the old patterns, blah, blah, blah. And all this self-abuse just started, you know, the saboteur and the abuser started coming back into it. And then I just went, you know what, you can go and get stuffed because I'm glad I did it, I'm happy I did it, and I'm not going to beat myself up over doing it, and all I'm going to do is just see what I can gain from the experience of actually doing it. And it was really, really, I had a great time, and I learned a lot from it, and that's the way I approach things now, and I'm not going to sit there judging myself. And it's great because none of my friends or Cynthia judged me for it either. In fact, Cynthia nurtured me the next day through it and was really loving and caring about it and totally understanding why I did it. It was just wonderful, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah.
Oh, it's incredible to have someone that loves you so unconditionally like that and won't judge you for it. So it's just sometimes we need to do things to get them out of our system. And it gives you that point of reference because when I did it, I had this wonderful point of reference back in those other years of my life when I used to do it on a regular basis. And it was great not having to do that again, you know, anymore.
Yeah,
I just don't need that. I don't need it. It's done.
Nice. Nice. Well, and I think what it is because, you know, I feel the same way that, I remember after I did the ayahuasca, like I have people in my life that have done the ayahuasca, you know, 28, 30 times. And, you know, I was really like, I mean, before I even knew that that was just getting me to the fourth dimension, because I really am, just from my own, for me, you know, I'm bent on ascending. I mean, I don't have kids. I never got married. I don't own a home. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm happy with that being my passion and on some levels my obsession. But the thing that was interesting about the ayahuasca was I really understood that I didn't really need to go that far out anymore in the sense of from a drug-induced space. There was a time when this reality just was, I could not really be here fully. You know, I mean, I tell people, you know, whether they want to hear it or not, when I did the drugs, the coke, for as long as I did, because I didn't want to feel. I wasn't ready to feel. Everything that I felt was painful. And, you know, it was kind of like my call waiting. You know, it's like, and I mean, when I got close to death, that's when I told you last time, you know, my mom yanked me out of that and goes, you know, get over here, you know, knock that shit off. But I don't need to go so into an altered state anymore. And I don't judge those who do. I just don't. You know, it's like I'd rather have the dream, you know, where, you know, I'm falling through mirrors and connecting with my reptilian, you know, as opposed to going through, I mean, because, you know, the ayahuasca, this is, you know, this is not a recreational drug. I mean, you can't believe the things coming out of every orifice and, you know, it's a really, how do I put this? It's a very, it's a ritual. It, you know, you do it in a room with 30 other people. It's hot. It's sweaty. Everybody's puking and pooping. You know, it's like, well, what are we all thinking here? You know, maybe we should all just, you know, let's go take a hike in the woods and call it a day. It's like, what are we all looking for here? Because it's like you find it, but, you know, again, I'm going all back to, for me, the world is starting to become very clear to me what's deception, what's clarity. You know, because I love the idea that, you know, if cocaine passed my space right now, I would just go, no thanks. I wouldn't jump on the people and become, you know, anti, you know, I'm going to call the cops, or and I wouldn't do it. I'd just say, no thanks, I'm cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, same. Enjoy the journey for the others, you know. Have fun.
Yeah.
Don't recommend it, but have fun.
I tell me, it's the quickest way to get separated from your spirit. It is definitely, it's some evil shit, man. Evil
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
So, I just honor the space of just not beating yourself up, because I'm really starting to get more and more that this is not a game of I have to be perfect to ascend. I mean, that I was like, you know, ascension is not a razor sharp frequency, and I better hold my breath that I'm in that frequency in order to do this. It's a very forgiving.
That other concept that you've got to hold that frequency is so fear based. You know, it's no different. It's another version of, you know, follow Jesus or you're going to burn in hell. Hold that frequency or you ain't ascending. It's it's that. It's an ultimatum. And it ain't like that. You know, the true organic ascension is just be you. And wherever that takes you between now and ascension, that's what you needed.
Yeah, fly with it. Exactly.
Just flow. Allow yourself to flow forth and go with that. And the set of experiences that you have between now and whenever the time comes you is a set of experiences. They're the energy patterns, they're the frequencies you require, not to hold some ideological frequency that some doctrine says you must. Again, that's dogma.
Exactly. All right, I'm going to take another question from your beloved forum. They are so they treated me so well in your forum.
Oh, look, I got to make a comment. You know, there are some incredibly wise beings on that forum. Every now and then, Cynthia and I will get on there and have a bit of a read. We don't post, but we'll get on there and have a bit of a read. We felt better not to go down that path. And, you know, we've seen some other forums, and the level of wisdom that people are expressing themselves in on that forum, we're really, really quite amazed.
Yeah, I agree. The kindness, too. There was a kindness and a warmth that just reached out to me. I was touched by it. I mean, I was really touched.
Yeah.
It was,
and also, I just want to take a moment to thank some really close friends of mine who actually monitor that forum. They've done such a wonderful job. They cop a bit of flack from people every now and then because the ideologies aren't a match, you know, in people's frameworks. And I just think the people that have a go at them, they should try running a forum and see what they're in for. They have no idea what it actually takes to run a forum when you've got to deal with so many different personalities and ideologies and, you know, all the issues that come up. How do you actually deal with them? So I want to give a huge pat on the back and a big thank you and a big hug to my really good friends who are running it. I won't name them personally because it's probably not appropriate, but I just want to say thank you. You know who you are if you're listening.
Right on. Yeah, I all right. So we'll take a question. All right, Megan had a question. She actually had a few, so I'll pick one. Okay, you talk about the veil lifting as an activation. Are they the same thing, and will they both happen or both need to happen before we go through the doorways? Will they be gradual processes or sudden, or will it be different for everyone?
Yeah, it's different for everyone, and my veil is lifting in stages and steps. Yours is too, Goldie, by the looks of it. And
yeah,
so the veil's already lifting. For some people, they're really remaining asleep, but I just know. I know their journey. I've spoken with their higher selves. I've connected and communicated with their higher selves. So I know at the very last moment, their veil will lift in a real, very suddenly, very quickly.
Okay.
But for me, it's happening in stages. So again, it's individual soul journey. So yeah, it's symbiotic. It'll happen in, yeah, stages for some, quickly for others.
Because, I mean, today, for you anyways, tomorrow for us, we'll just call it now.
Yeah.
You know, we're at October 28th. This was the day you basically said from this point forward, between here and December 21st, 2012, are when our portals will start opening. I mean, I don't know about
yeah.
you, but I'm stoked. It's like, you know, I've been noticing, like, Janine, do you remember the name of the guy, the Japanese guy you told me who did those cartoon things?
Oh, I don't, because, Howl's Castle. Yeah, and I can look it up for you.
Mikioki?
Yeah.
There's a guy that basically does these Japanese spiritual cartoons. I've actually found one that was on your forum, George. Somebody had posted it, and it was really interesting because in one part, the one I happened to watch had so much resonance. It had these white wolves, which are part of, you know, I have aspects that are totems that are wolves. And, well, and to make a long story short, when this being that was coming in, this ascended being, I think it was the spirit of the woods, the spirit of the forest, they could see the spirit of the forest in Vesica Pisces. In, you know, in the forest, and I'm going, look at that! Like, wow! You know, yeah, it was, and it was like, every step this being took, there was, you know, flowers and grass, and, you know, life grew from every step, and I'm going, you know, there it is. And it was funny, because it was very much in the shape, I think they called it, like an elk, when it was in one of its things, and also elk is part of my, my totem, so it was just one of those. You know, gosh, even the people in Japan, you know, this really is a universal awareness that the synchronicities are coming fast and furious. Like another thing that I noticed is one day I was like, I have this radio in my car, and a friend of mine put it in, and I never figured out how to adjust the treble and the bass, and, you know, and I'm not really that techno anyway, so... For 2 years, like, or maybe less, again, time. Okay, forget it. For a while, I've had this radio, and I said, it was like, God, I need to go online and, you know, maybe look up the name brand and get the booklet so I can learn how to adjust it, because when I, like, listen to interviews you're doing, I want the treble higher. When I'm listening to music, I want the bass higher. And don't you know, and this is within the last week, all of a sudden, I hit a button, and the bass showed up. And then I hit another button, and the bass went up. And I hit another button, the bass went down. And I'm going, wow, who needs manuals? You know, like, and I know it sounds simple, but I can tell you that the synchronicities like that and the just knowing, it's just a knowing that I'm not thinking about knowing. It's just showing up. Not from a space of, you know, I'm struggling to know, and not from a space that I couldn't possibly know without having the manual, just being. And there was, you know, I don't want to, you know, I'm not here, I'm sure the people in the chat room don't care about what I'm saying right now, but it's like, you know, these small things that are happening are, you know, leading into the presence of myself going, you are ascending, Goldie. This is, because I love when you talk about how the guy, the intellectual guy, that was another thing I wanted to share, that, you know, intellectualism, which I do believe is an ism, and and I know this is reptilian, people use, and I know this from my own experiences, people use intellectualism as a way to be, you know, an ism. In other words, there was one of your interviews where somebody interviewing you was going, you guys were joking around about ignorance is bliss. And, you know, it's so funny because I have worked very hard from my perspective, my personal perspective, to ascend. And I have seen myself kind of get hard on people in my inner circle going, you know, you guys aren't doing enough. God damn it, do more. You must do more. You must ascend. And, you know, I really clearly now see that that was an ism of intellectualism. And that, you know, the beauty is nature itself is the wisdom of this. This is, you know, this is our essence and our presence, and it's infiltrating, for lack of that, so militant. It's embodying us, you know, with K-class sunflares showing up and volcanoes and earthquakes moving the shifting. You know what I mean? It's like the time is now for this all to become what it is. And, you know, I'm really taking a step back and, you know, understanding, you know, my own judgment of how I have used my intellectualism to feel like I was going to get somewhere and other people weren't. And, you know, I love the idea that you have only read five books in your lifetime. That's awesome. You know, it's available to everybody. I love that.
Yeah, it's available to everyone. And there's going to be people who you don't think are going to ascend who are actually going to ascend. That's what will happen.
Thank God.
It'll be like, no way. I never thought no way, you know. And then there's people that you're absolutely sure are going to ascend, and then it's kind of like, what happened there? Yeah.
Really? I mean, is that possible? Could we really feel we're ascending and then not?
It'll depend on where you feel you're ascending from, because there's a lot of self-righteous people out there that think they're going to ascend. And
oh, that's true. Okay.
Some of them will not.
Yeah.
Some of them won't. They won't end up ascending. They will go into other paradigms. It'll be quite a shock for them. But it'll be a tough lesson, but it's one that they created for themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not going to ascend. Maybe I'm all self-righteous about things. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just have a feeling that it will happen this time. I'm kind of done.
Yeah, no, I feel it as well. I feel it. Yeah, because one of the things I was thinking about, too, is, you know, the DNA within all of us is, you know, essentially what I'm getting anyways. That's what's kind of getting turned on. That it's like the awareness is getting turned on. It's not that anything's necessarily changing. It's just my awareness of my experience is what's changing. Not, you know, reptilians haven't just shown up. They've always been here. I'm just now aware of them. And
correct.
I thought... Right, so now from a science point of view, if it's the DNA that's changing, there's an impossibility that the change would not also happen to the Earth, because scientifically speaking, her DNA and our DNA is exactly the same.
Well, it's symbiotic. It's happening to her and it's happening to us. It's happening together. We're doing this together. So the more she changes, the more we change. That's why I feel like the way I feel the last couple of days. Because the sun's changing, the earth is changing, and I'm tuned into all that stuff, you know. I'm connected to my environment, my reality I've chosen to incarnate into, the relationship I have with the earth, the relationship I have with Father Sun, and the other planets in the solar system, you know, and the galaxy. It's just functioning from that level of awareness. And when things change, you just got to go with the flow. I mean, it's not fun at times, but it's metamorphosis. It's the caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And we're in the process of doing that. We're in the process of doing that. So every now and then, there's lots of moments of joy, but every now and then, it's just a little bit of a reminder, kind of a reality check, you know?
Yeah, well, and you know what they say, I've actually seen, like, videos on it, you know, anything that's not butterfly turns to, like, chemical mush for the caterpillar. I mean, it essentially is destroyed before its rebirth, in other words. You know, it gets down to anything that is not butterfly is chemically, you know, destroyed. It's like, wow, you know, and kind of fits the aches and pains and, you know, the coughings or whatever that's going on in our lives as we go through this, exactly like you said, the metamorphosis.
I watched someone sent me a doco the other day. I watched it. Cynthia and I sat and watched it. And it was a lady, her name was Jennifer. I think that was her last name. Joy. There's the word Joy. There's the word Jennifer. And I've forgotten if that Jennifer was the first or her last name. It could be Susan Joy Jennifer or something like that. Anyway, she's a scientist. And she's bringing forth this scientific evidence. She's like, does a presentation which blends science and metaphysics. And she's bringing the scientific evidence from a metaphysical point of view. And to see how much evidence science actually has behind the scenes is just mind-boggling. You'd be astounded. I highly recommend it. Where have I got the link to that? Anyway, you can do a Google search. I'm sure people are Googling it as we speak.
Yeah.
But anyway, I highly recommend her presentation, and you'll be in for a rude shock. You really will. You wouldn't believe the evidence. They are literally saying that there are realities that are now appearing on the earth that are not from this level of reality. They are accessing it. They're literally saying that the energy and the light that's now just Mother Earth is changing. They know it. You're just not being told. But they have the evidence. It's there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that deception again, huh?
Well, there's so much information that's being withheld. And don't underestimate what certain members of the scientific community know. They are well informed because the evidence is all around them. In all their experiments and all their modes, their scientific modalities that they function within, whether it's biology, whether it's astrophysics, whether it's physics, whether it's quantum physics, it's just showing them in every move they make now how much this reality is actually changing.
Yeah.
And it's changed the amount of energy coming in from the sun, which is coming in from the center of the galaxy. They know it. They know it. And they understand the plasmic nature of the sun. They understand. They know it's not nuclear fusion. It's just codswallop. That's just a load of crap. They know it's a ball of plasma.
Hmm.
It's living consciousness. They know that. But you're not going to hear about it in the media. You just got to get it from the right sources.
Yes, another reality show.
Yeah, another reality show. Yeah.
Right on.
But these are the sort of people you want to start listening to get a really good grasp of what's going on out there.
Yeah.
I would like to listen to them.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. So, a friend of mine has asked me, for example, wait a minute. I guess the chat room is getting all pissed off at me because they don't think I'm letting you talk, George.
Okay.
A friend of mine is going, read the chat room. I'm reading it. I don't really care what they're saying. I'm having a lovely conversation with you. Yeah, you can't believe.
You could ask me another question if you like.
Huh? I will. One of the questions is, who are the blue people?
Oh, gosh. Okay. There's probably about 100 million different blue races out there. So what are you referring to? It's like, who are the greys? Well, which ones? You know, there's at least a few thousand greys that I know of out there. So, excuse me. Okay, let me just feel into where that person's coming from.
Okay.
The person is, I'm feeling, I could be wrong, but I'm feeling that they're asking that question from the point of view of the blue people being a benevolent race of beings that have been reported throughout the ages and have been coming here and helping humanity. I could be wrong. It just feels like that's where the question's coming from. On Sirius, there's a lot of people that have blue skin. My skin is a bluey tinge on Sirius. In my humanoid embodiment, because I have a whale embodiment on Sirius too. I just don't know how to answer that at this stage. There's just so many blue races out there. There's greys who have a blue skin as well, and they're classed as greys, but they've got a blue tinge to them. There's blue beings from Andromeda. There's about three different blue races from Andromeda that are here at the moment. I really just don't know. That question was too general.
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone's asking about artificial timelines versus knowing the organic opening or organic time. I don't know if that resonates with you.
Yeah, that's... Oh, is this in relation to the blue races, or is this a separate question?
No, this
now?
Is separate to that.
Okay, yeah, there's... Well, I talk about the... timeline, the organic timeline, and then I draw my graph because of the precessional cycle and the equations that I use, that there's the illusionary timeline, which is the one where our awareness is captivated into. But I know there's some other timelines getting along as well. So it'll depend. There's all these different ideas of what the timeline is, and then there's the real timeline. So to get in touch with the real timeline, you need to rekindle your relationship with the Earth Mother and Father Son. Then that's going back to the organic timeline. When we can do that, you get feel back into the solar system, then you'll get back in touch with the organic timeline. You'll just feel it more. It'll just have that sense about it. It's very deep and it's very subtle, but it'll be there.
Sounds like trust as well, like there's a trust factor, I don't know.
Of course. Of course there's a big trust factor. Because everything outside, everything you read and that is trying to tell you something different. And this is very gentle, very subtle, very graceful, and it's deep inside of you.
Yeah.
And trusting that over everything else. Whereas everything else is up in lights. Everything else is giving you the buzz. This is, you know, the buzz factor. So you got to get past all that and get to what's really simple, very subtle, very graceful and gentle and deep within, beyond all those other layers, and that's where you get to the good stuff.
Yeah, it's like dropping into that place.
Yeah, receding. I kind of like, when I feel, it's like that part of me recedes into it. It's like, yeah, it's like being gently immersed into a warm bath. I don't know, it's hard to explain it. But it is kind of like a sense of just immersing yourself down into it. That's how it feels. I recede within myself. I feel myself going back into, because I'm going back into myself, and then therefore I'm going back into Mother Earth, back into the consciousness of the solar system.
I would imagine that when you drop into that organic timeline, there's such a difference between that and these artificial timelines that you actually just, you know, then you go, oh, okay, this is how it feels. And it's much different. Like you said, it's not that buzzy feeling. It's a more gentle, you know, I don't know, connected feeling. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, it's kind of like you live in an area all your life and you really know the weather patterns. And then there's people that have come in and haven't lived there for very long. And the seasons are changing or whatever, or there's a day where the weather's a bit iffy and people are panicking, they're running around doing this, that and the other, and you just know it's not going to be the storm they think it is. It's just going to blow over and all be okay. But everyone's got all these different ideas about what's going to happen. And you just sit back and you go, oh, well, You know, sit on your porch and just have a cup of tea and enjoy the day and just watch everyone running around you frantically doing all this crazy stuff. And everyone, you know, comes to you to think it's going to be this. Another person comes to you to think that this is going to happen. Another person comes to you to think that that's going to happen. And you just sit back and just relax and just let it all just play out and let them learn their lessons.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask you a question? Because I want to address this actually live up front and in person. They're like wailing me in the chat room here. And I get it. You know, the energy is very pumped up right now from the planet, from the star. But, you know, I'm not quite sure, you know, because it's funny because, you know, most of the times I have, you know, 25 people maybe listening to my radio show. Me and Janine do our talks. You know, we're kind of begging people to call in, ask a question. And I'm finding it just so interesting that, you know, right now we're supposed to have a room full of enlightened people. I mean, there's a woman named Blissful who's ripping me a new asshole right now. And I'll be honest with you, I'm physically, you know, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling this. And, you know, I'm kind of, you know, you've been in the public eye, George. Because I get the sense that, you know, you're just sharing your truth. I'm just sharing my truth. You know, it's like, you know, I'm trying to have a show with you in third hour. If you chose to do the third hour, we do Q&A. And, you know, I wanted to get a few questions in just in case you didn't feel like doing the third hour. And, you know, it's just an interesting thing when energy comes at you. It's like very spiky and, you know, it's nasty.
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. A lot of people in this genre like to be stimulated. And I can categorically tell these people I'm not here to entertain them. I'm not here to entertain any of you.
Right.
You want to be entertained. So if anybody's finding this conversation boring, well, the reality of it is their mental constructs and their egos want to be entertained.
You know, no, they're not finding it boring. They're finding me selfish because I don't ask their questions. I'm just kind of, you know, speaking with you from my talk show. You know, I'm having conversation with you from my perspective.
I understand. I just want to say that a lot of people, because I get a lot of emails from all over the world asking me all sorts of crazy questions, and I know the comments that I read on YouTube channels and, you know, things to do with material I put out, that there's a lot of people that want to be entertained, and I'm not here to entertain people's minds and mental constructs, and they're just not seeing the value in the wisdom in our conversation. They probably just want to be entertained. So I'm not having a go at these people. I'm trying to get them to understand what's going on with themselves as well. So, okay, we're not being the most perfect radio program today in that sense, because I'm not feeling too well, and Goldie's taken up the ropes to do a bit more of a conversation. But there's a lot of gold in our conversation, and I just hope people have the wisdom to actually see that,
exactly.
To see what's actually being shared, because we're talking about we're bringing it down to basics to our everyday life, and then we're ripping it right out there to the highest cosmic level of consciousness and awareness as well. So we're doing both. But, yeah, look, feel free to ask me a question anytime you like. I don't mind hanging around for another hour. I feel okay.
Okay, no, right, and that's, you know, and truth be told, George, you know, I'll be damned that I'm going to do it because they're threatening me in the chat room. That is really not the way to get, you know, my warrior comes out and goes, I'll close the chat room. I can settle this very easily. I'll cancel it. Bye. You know, but it, you know, part
don't
of it
don't take
is,
so personal either, Goldie. Don't let him get to you, mate.
This is new for me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is the public arena, mate. No, I've been copping
exactly.
It. Look, I'm an agent of Satan, Goldie. That's who you're talking to. Actually, you're talking to the son of Satan, and in other people's minds, you're actually talking to Satan himself. So there you go. So I really, you just got to take it all with a grain of salt. And
right.
in all honesty, what other people think of us is none of our business.
Right on. Right on.
Okay, so if someone wants to write something nasty about us, or have a as that person you singled out, which is they have every right to post what they want to write. And it's okay, because they're venting their frustration and the way they're feeling about, you know, and the way they're perceiving our conversation right in this moment. And that's okay. They're allowed to, you know. We've got to let them be them. We don't have to accept it. You know, there are times when, sure, I mean, you know, you've got a couple of friends and somebody's being totally disrespectful. We're not going to sit there and just tolerate that, or someone's just ripping into us publicly in that way. Then you want to be able to actually defend your sovereignty. I understand that.
Yeah.
But don't let things get to you in the public arena too much either, Goldie, because it can really eat you up.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm happy staying humble and small. But you know what? I enjoy our conversations for many reasons. And believe it or not, the least of all, because 150 people are in my chat room right now. That's I'm not doing this for fame. I'm having conversations with a person who is, you know, helping me understand my own ascension process. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I've always done radio. Not, you know, I'm not a fame chaser. That's not, you know, I'm just not. Anyways, but what you just said is absolutely correct. And, you know, I'm also, you know, I just need to take a breath.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't take it personal. You know, allow these people to have their opinions and their perspectives, and, you know, just learn from it. Just learn. Okay. It's okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not even checking the chat room anymore. Janine, you're monitoring it. I'm not even. And yes, I am going to take the callers in the third hour. So that is when the callers can ask their questions. Okay. So
I'm going to read another excerpt from my book.
Okay.
If I may.
Of course.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite paragraphs that I wrote. It's under the section which is going to be called Exposing the Insanity of the Status Quo. And
how apropos.
And it goes like this. We live in a society that holds the people who have pursued the official programs of achievement in the highest of regards. The system then becomes the reason for one's success, and its dependency becomes crucial and therefore supreme. The problem is that this process propagates, promotes, and reinforces the structure of that system. In turn, it does the same with the insecurities and the fears of the peoples living within that very same society. This type of approach stifles and restricts the human spirit and does not allow for expansion and growth, but simply aspires for the containment of human awareness. As a result, conformity becomes paramount, and any attempts to share knowledge and wisdom by those who experience life outside and beyond the official societal curriculum are ridiculed, persecuted, and condemned, and judged as mentally unstable.
That's good.
Yeah. The guy's so apropos.
Yeah, we can relate to that.
Yeah, I can kind of relate. Me and Janine have actually been discussing this in our own personal conversations. You know, just the whole idea of, you know, what it really means to be accepted in a world of fame when that world is clearly draconian. You know, the ones that, you know, the whole, you know, we've made it big. There was this YouTube that I posted. It was a documentary about Eminem, Jay-Z, Michael Jackson, and it was literally showing how they felt they sold their soul to the devil in exchange for fame. And it, you know, really made me, you know, I really took that to heart. Like, you know, maybe one of my biggest blessings was that I didn't get famous, you know, in the past 5 years, because, I mean, just from tonight, I can see, oh, you know, I'm just not interested in that. Like I said, my goal for the last 16 years has been to integrate, find my center, and get the hell out of this dimension. You know, I don't understand the animosity, the lack of acceptance, because, I mean, I really try very consciously to talk tonight about things that I believe are absolutely imperative to every single person in the chat room's ascension, which is your message. You know, it's just interesting, you know, living this. It doesn't surprise me because I've been focusing a lot of this, so it doesn't surprise me by the law of attraction I'm experiencing it. And it's just in the moment for me. That's kind of why I'm, you know, like, wow, you know, where's the forest? Goldie needs to hug a tree. Literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also been in contact with a person of late who we're putting together a project. We're in the early stages of putting a project together for like a doco sort of movie, more of a documentary. Okay. It's kind of in line with The Secret. You know,
okay.
Kind of that style, shall I say.
Yep.
And this person has put out, just releasing now, a first in a series, and I'm going to be involved in the third one. And the first one that's come out is called The Truth, The Journey Within. And if people want to Google that and have a look at that, it's being released. It was shown in a cinema recently, and... apparently the reports that I got was that it was a standing ovation, and the majority of the comments were that this fills in all the gaps that were left with the one called The Secret, you know. So
yeah.
This is really big stuff, you know. You got your Greg Bradens and your Beckwiths and all these other people in these in this documentary, and it's very professionally done, and just want to put a little, you know, little sort of advertisement, if you want to put it that way, for people to check it out, because I think it's actually going to be quite good.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. So truth.com, is that what?
No, it's called The Truth, The Journey Within.
Okay.
It's the title of the movie.
Okay. Cool.
And,
very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what to do. All right, I'm a little in my own spin, so I'll take a question from one of your forums.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I would like to know, George once said that some will go through the fifth dimension, but they won't end up ascending with Mother Earth. He said that some would just go on to do other things that needed to be done. Can he please explain this further?
Okay. I'm going to ask you to ask me that question
Orion
again,
Queen.
Please.
Sure. George once said that some will go through to the fifth dimension, but they won't end up ascending with Mother Earth. He said that some would go on to do other things that needed to be done. Can he please explain this further?
Yeah, sure. How can I expand on that? Okay, somebody who's come from a galaxy, for example, and... they're here as an ambassador to their galaxy, and they go through the processes, go back to the fifth dimension, and it's not actually their time to ascend. So what they'll do is they'll go back to their galaxy. They will... Can you hear me all right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought
that?
I was dropping out. Yeah, because you're dropping in and out. They'll go back to their galaxy and... do a lot of sharing, a lot of teaching, and their aspect in that galaxy will actually go through a process of an ascension from within that galaxy as well. So it's hard to put into words, but it's a different timeline and it's a different process. This is going to confuse a lot of people, I know, but... it's kind of like they're not going to ascend now in this moment. They're going to hold off for a while because they need to complete something back in there. Their energies are not complete. They have to go back to their galactic system, function as an elder, to do some sort of continued teachings, to complete their energetic patterns, and then go through a process.
Pretty
deep. I'm finding it really hard to put into words, but there are And then what they'll probably do is, not probably, they'll end up either coming back into this galaxy, back onto the next planetary body that's going to go through the process. They'll come in right at the end and do what they need to do. Because there's a lot of people that have incarnated now towards the end because on lifetimes before, they kind of rebalanced themselves. They went through, in cycles before, they went through some really, really intense experiences which created a great amount of balance. So they might not have incarnated for about 1,000 years, say, Earth time, and have just come in now, and or they've only had to have one lifetime in the Dark Ages, and they didn't need to have, you know, one after the other, like other people have. I know I've had a few through that period, and they don't need to go through these extensive experiences to regain balance because they've already done it. They might have had really, really intense experiences, say, going back 3,000 years, for example, to obtain that level of balance in their soul because it's what they needed.
Right.
So it's like everybody that's on the planet at the moment has had a role to play throughout the ages, and they continue to create balance within themselves, therefore balancing, how can I put it, therefore creating balance within the greater human, collective human soul, and also creating a balance in the energetic patterns of the Earth's grid, because the streams that are streaming into this incarnation that they represent, that they embody, are achieving a sense of balance. And then it goes back out to their galactic system, and they need to further facilitate the rebalancing of that galactic system and all the races that they represent. So some people will not actually go through the ascension this time. Most will, but some, just a few, will actually end up going back to their system. They won't ascend. They'll continue to help from the fifth dimension. But then what they'll do is they'll reincarnate back down in the fourth and then back down to the third when the next planetary body will facilitate, will take this process on next and then go through the ascension process there. Now, how they actually ascend from their own galactic system, I don't know. I don't know if it's possible to do that. I feel that there may be a possibility they can do that from there, but I just don't know. I don't have any more to share on that, unfortunately. Yeah.
No, that's pretty deep, though. I mean, just to, you know, because it really is just something, there's no one blanket. You've said this in several interviews. You know, nothing just fits everybody. The ascension is as personal as the 7 billion of us that are here experiencing it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just, we didn't all enter the universe at the same time. There are some that came, you know, that came in groups. There are some that came close proximity and time-wise within each other. But people just need to realize that we've all taken this incredible journey through the forest called this universe. And the way we've gone about it and the way, what we need, what sort of circumstances we need to finalize our journeys here to create total balance to achieve complete universal consciousness is different for each person. It's just different for each person.
Yeah.
There's two, you know, there's 7 billion people on the planet, and how many other beings exist out there? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, that's only the physical ones. How many are, and I mean, because everything's going through a change. I mean, whether it's an ascension or not, right? Even the draconians and the reptilians that haven't, you know, really had the guts to come here to do the human game, are they also going through changes in whatever dimension, you know, they're playing from? You know, that's, you know, even though it's manipulating our dimension?
Oh, that's a big one. Okay. There's a whole lot of beings in that domain that are learning a great deal at the moment from us. And so when we're changing them, they're providing a service for us and we're teaching them, and they're also teaching us. It works both ways. But there's many of them that are changing, and it's having a ripple effect throughout the dark empires as well. Yeah. So they're on a different path, trajectory now. They've changed. They won't go back to being as evil and dark as they were before, and they're working their way out of that domain now. But don't forget that. You're talking about one aspect of that greater essence of that being. When you're talking about a draconian being, you're only talking about one aspect. I mean, look at us. We have so many different aspects of ourselves.
Right.
Some of us have tens of thousands scattered throughout the 4D cosmos.
Timelines? Pardon?
Some of us have about tens of thousands scattered throughout the 4D cosmos.
Right. So does that correlate with how many timelines? You know, in other words, the more aspects, the more we've played in the third and fourth dimension?
Well, some beings do it slower than others. So some beings doing it quicker than others. So some beings want to work their way through this universe quicker than others. You know, because remember, I had a bit of a go before, and I said, you know, you can go back to your cotton wool reality, positive light, love and light reality, and stay there for a while before we actually get the courage to reincarnate into a domain that's going to challenge you further. So there's some beings who just don't have the capacity to go through it quick, and other beings are just like all or nothing, you know, so let's go for it. So they'll fragment into tens of thousands of aspects all at the same time, and other beings might fragment into just 1 or 2,000. And just take the journey a bit slower.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Here, I'll go back.
So, think about that. It means that they're occupying thousands of timelines all at the same time.
Well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What are you saying to focus on with that? I'm not understanding your subtlety there.
Oh, I just said to think about the concept of occupying thousands of timelines simultaneously. You're there, you're another reality experiencing that, you're another reality experiencing a different, you know, set of experiences and different timeline. It's amazing what we're actually, who and what we actually are, you know. It's... I'm really struggling to find the words because of the magnitude of what I'm trying to explain.
Is it like cosmic schizophrenia?
Pardon?
Is it like cosmic schizophrenia or multiple?
Cosmic schizophrenia. Good on you. Had to come
from
you,
darling. We needed to hear you laugh.
River.
Indeed.
Cosmic schizophrenia, good on you. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
But in a good way.
Right. Oh, in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meaning that they're all experiences.
Yeah, you fragment with intentions. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You fragment with intention. You occupy all these other realities because your greater essence wants you to.
Yeah, there is no wrong.
That's enormous.
Yeah.
Well, you see, the good thing about talking about these concepts is it really expands people's awareness. You know, we're talking about the big stuff. You know, don't forget you exist beyond this universe. You know, we're commenting on our journey within this universe, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's funny. My intention tonight initially was I wanted to talk about the big things, meaning more, like we talked more about personal ascension last time, and, you know, I did want to focus more on, like, the planets and the galaxies, and when you didn't feel well, though, I didn't, you know, I kind of just let the plan, you know, poof, let that go, and, you know, just have a, you know, that's why I just went to, just let's have a nice conversation, sharing, you know, what we're sharing, and but there does seem to be a lot going on within the planet as well. Like, right now, actually, we're in the middle of Jupiter and the Sun. I mean, we are literally, there is a direct alignment going on, and, you know, I've heard another talk where you spoke about Jupiter being the female warrior, you know, and not necessarily, you know, a bitch on wheels, but you know, kind of more like the Amazon protector.
Oh, definitely the Amazonian archetype is Jupiter to me. Whether it is or not for other people, I don't know. But for me, that's how I see Jupiter. I don't experience Jupiter at this point in time as a male energy. Sure, it's got both, but at this point in time, it's like saying Mars is a woman. I just don't experience Mars as a female energy, even though it's got a reptilian matriarchal, you know, queen that's controlling, that's running the planet. It's a male energy. And so, and she's butch, you know. She comes off as...
Sorry.
She comes off... I've met her personally. She summons me. You know, she comes off as though... And I'm having a bit of a go because people just don't talk about her in this way. It's like they just don't... They're too frightened to. So she's comes off... She plays the goddess, the voluptuous goddess. That's her... that's her religion that she created, and that's her humanoid embodiment embodies that. That's how she appeared before me in the meeting that we had. And she comes across as though she's all voluptuous and feminine and everything, but her ways are male. They're controlling their negative male aspects. It's really sad, and that's why she's on Mars. It's a perfect match. You know?
Yeah.
And for me, Jupiter, for me at the moment, is the Amazonian archetype, warrior, the female warrior. And that's what's happening. That's the energy that women are drawing on at the moment. You know, we've got the Venus transit, sure. So we're drawing on that. The feminine energy still needs to remain playful and, little bit of seduction, but not in a negative way, not in a manipulative way, in a nurturing way. And also the Jupiter energy, well, it's the female warrior that's coming out now. She needs to make a stand. So Mother Earth and women of the world should draw on that energy that it's a warrior, you know, the Xena. let's get Xena happening, but it's fair, a way that it functions in a fair and just manner.
Yeah.
Not a revengeful manner. Because it's easy, you know, the challenge for women now is not to allow the pendulum to swing too far the other way and get all resentful towards male energy, which I've experienced a lot in my life with that energy, that really resentful female energy towards men.
Yeah, that's part of the, you know, the... I want to call it a challenge, but it's just part of the mastering the awakening is to wake up but not be pissed off at what you're awakening to, you know. Or I won't say not be pissed off, but not take action in that pissed offness, you know, recognize it as, it, you know, it was what it was when it was happening, and now we're awakening from it. So it doesn't have to be that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Challenging, definitely.
Definitely challenging. Hey, I've got the link to that movie. The website is thetruthmovie.tv.
Oh, what is it?
Thetruthmovie.tv.
Okay, great.
That's the website.
Janina, can you put that in the chat room?
Sure.
Thanks.
And people will see just how it's a very professional production, and the lady that's behind it all, Carla, she's amazing, and we're really looking at getting this third one underway. So this is the first one to come out. There's another one that's going to come out soon, and then we're in the process of creating the third installment to this. Yeah.
Nice. I'm a definite supporter of the truth, definitely. A lot of people have questions about Elenin. Do you have any comments or any updates about what's going on with the lovely comet that is and is not?
Well, I've always said that Elenin is a front for what's coming in behind it. I've always said that.
Yeah.
So at the moment, there's what's coming in behind it is here. and it's cloaked. And there are some people that are starting to see it, because the majority of our technology just, our technology just hasn't got the capacity to reach into the frequency that this thing is existing. But there are some photographic techniques that are starting to reveal some really interesting anomalies. So there's a lot of spherical objects that are now appearing at certain moments. And what's happening is, the reason they're appearing is the sun is now interfering with their cloaking ability. So when you get certain flares or certain moments, if the object's between us and the sun, at certain angles they can be seen, or they're in the proximity of the sun, there'll be solar reflections. People use different filters to have a look at these objects. There was one that I looked at, and he used a solar filter, and you can clearly see there's a spherical object, and the solar energies were reflecting off the side of this, because it was impossible to be a lens flare, and it was a spherical object near the sun. And when he put this solar filter on, you can clearly see the solar energies reflecting off the side of this sphere that was towards the sun, and the other side was in the shadow of the solar energy. So it was clearly, this is a massive spherical object out there.
Wow. I also want to let everybody know. Oh, sorry. Just keep going.
I just want to say that there will be an object that will reveal itself as part of the greater plan. If I was to use a timeline, which I'm not too keen on doing much anymore, to be honest with you. I'd have to say around March next year something might occur. But, yeah, I'd have to say about that, about March next year maybe. Towards the middle of next year, it'll have to show itself, if not before. We'll wait and see.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a, for anybody who's interested, there's a gentleman called Jesse on YouTube. The YouTube name is Mr. with a dot, MR dot, Comet Watch. He's basically following this on a daily basis. He's following the sun as well as earthquakes and volcano action. And he's some kind of scientist, so he knows how to read the NASA pages and the pages that talk about, you know, how to look at earthquake activity. You know, I have found it to be a wonderful resource for keeping up. He posts, you know, two or three updates daily. I knew I wanted to share on the show tonight. You know, if you want to know, you know, it's kind of getting a physical update, because like what you were just describing, he uses these cameras and filters, or he has access to them through NASA, through links, and it's really fascinating, because he has said there is something out there, and he's seen it, and he has people that he's invited to watch, and they've seen it as well. You know, it is revealing itself, which is, you know, I think part of the whole unveiling and revealing that's happening on a, you know, a whole cosmic level right now. You know?
Yeah, it is. There is. And, well, that's the apocalypse, isn't it?
Yeah,
the apocalypse
exactly.
Means from the good spirits. That's the truth. It's a revealing of the truth. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's time. It's going to get pretty exciting. I mean, just to put an earthly drama tangent on our conversation, I've got to actually say the statements made by the Vatican to create a World Bank is just astounding. And on one level, and absolutely no surprise on another. So the possible, some people will say imminent collapse of the euro, and the suggestions of a World Bank is really, really on par, isn't it, with the script, the biblical script. So I would say we're not far away from the big domino falling in the public arena, which gets the ball rolling.
Yeah. Well, that's like phase two, right? I mean, that's when... you know, all the people that were in power looking to eliminate 85% of the population, I guess on some level in turn, get eliminated.
Yeah, from the reports that we're hearing now about all the underground bases, you know, yeah, I've always said that the people that are being led into these underground bases are being led to their demise. And it seems that on for some of them, at least, it's already happened and continues to happen with these underground bases that are being attacked.
Yeah.
They're using compressed air to do it, which is interesting. Interesting tactic.
Yeah. Compression at its finest.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Even before I knew you weren't feeling well, I was wondering, do you want to take a break? Because I can play a song. I don't, you know, if you want to go to the bathroom or grab a cup of tea, it's completely up to you.
What time is it now? Oh, it's okay. I'll keep going. I'm in the space, so
okay.
As best as I could be in at this stage, the way I feel, I'm happy to keep going.
Okay, you know, and you're doing beautifully.
Yeah.
Because what I'll start doing is I'm going to start taking calls. And,
yeah, that'll be great.
Okay, and I'm just going to let anybody know, if you're screaming negativities, I'm just dropping you. It's as simple as that. You know, you be nice to me, you be nice to George, you get the question asked. If they do that,
I'll just expose who and what they truly are, won't they?
Yeah, well, but they can do that. You know, do it in words if you want. I'm not going to sit here and listen to it. So, but indeed, I'm a little triggered tonight. I admit it. Okay. So, okay, this is a Skype caller. I can't read. And what I need to let the chat room know, if you want to continue listening to this part live, you have to come onto the phone lines. And to be quite honest, I don't know how many callers Blog Talker will let me have. We already have 36 callers, so but you need to transfer to the phones at this point because otherwise the show will end and you won't have access to it. So if you want to ask a question, there's our lovely woman, right, George? come into the phone lines. Okay, so everybody who's using Skype, I need you to talk. I don't know which Skype you are, but I have a Skype number. Okay, let's maybe move on. Okay, area code 405, you're on live.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Amber. I met you in Chicago. And,
hello, Amber. How are you going?
I'm doing really good. I'm constantly healing from the ordeals I've had with breast cancer. But I just wanted to share a really, really cool dream that I had. And this dream, I was massaging on a smooth-skinned blue dragon. And she had brown eyes at the time that I started, and kind of a golden, ambery brown eyes. And she looked sad and very much in pain. And the more I massaged her and massaged up and down the points of her spine, down her tail, and I just kept getting this incredible feeling of euphoria. And then I looked into her eyes, and they changed to, like, this absolutely beautiful, iridescent blue-green. And I woke up, and I have not been able to, I mean, that feeling of that euphoria has sat with me now for about 2 weeks. And it's like, that's like this place I go when I have days like you were describing yesterday. I had a day like that too, where I was just like blowing up emotionally. And then when I came home and sat down, I got back into that place of that euphoria. And it felt to me like that's my entry into myself, and my and I feel like a lot of healing happened through that dream. So I just wanted to share that, and it was amazing. And I'm so grateful to have met you in Chicago and everything that's happened since then.
Hey, Amber, thank you for sharing. Yeah, it was good to meet you too. And for me, I keep getting the Lady Gaia energy with that blue dragon. It's that real feminine sort of blue dragon, Lady Gaia personality sort of energy. So
yeah.
I reckon that being was connected to Mother Earth in some way, in a really big way.
Right, and so that's how I can go on a daily basis to connect with Mother Gaia in that way, because she was like, oh, awesomely there. The sensation of touching her skin was amazing. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
for calling.
You too, Amber.
Bye bye.
See you, mate.
Ah, Pleasant. I love Pleasant.
That was really an incredible experience that Amber had. Wow.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Area code 407. You're live on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, what's going on, Goldie? It's Kevin again. And what's going on, George? It's been a pleasure
to
see you guys
Kevin.
Here on the show.
Hey, Kevin. How are you, mate?
Hey, man. I mean, I can't complain right now. It's just been beautiful. This process of creation that we're all experiencing is just, it's amazing. And thank you, Goldie, for the shout-out earlier today. Even though I may not make it, but, you know, my energy will still be there, and I'll still send it, you know, worldwide. But I don't really have a particular question. One thing I did want to mention was David Wilcock, and I'm not sure if you, George, know much about him.
I know a little about him, not very much, but a little bit.
Yeah, because his work has been pretty interesting to me, and he talks about the influence of ETs with underground bases and a few other things. But I just, if I have one question, just be about your take on David Wilcock's work.
Oh, I feel that from what I know of David, his work is really quite intellectual. He knows a lot of information. And I feel that the majority of the positive nature of the beings that he's referring to belong to the 4D cosmic paradigm. I don't feel that the full extent of his work has been realized yet. I feel that David's got another level to go to with his work. But at the moment, he's working on that level because he needs to, because he's reaching a huge, huge amount of people on that level. There's so many of us that are working on these different levels. And we're all bringing the pieces of, bringing our piece of the puzzle forward. And David's doing an incredible job. On the paradigm that he's working within. Yeah, I just feel he hasn't got the full potential of his scope of understanding happening yet, and I still feel it's going to happen. Because the white hats that he refers to, there's a lot of beings in that white hat arena that I warn people of. But they're the positive white love and light people with high-level technology. And it's just one side of duality. So if that's where a lot of people want to go and continue to explore this universe, it's great. It's good for them. But I've been there. I've done that. So I'm not going back into that paradigm.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And I have another saying. Sarka Starseed, she sends her love to you. She visited you at a conference. She's not online now, but she sends you blessings and much love and energy through this time that you're taking in all of this for us, these negative energies.
Oh, thank you.
So,
I very much appreciate that.
Thanks, Goldie, and I'll give the opportunity for somebody
welcome,
else to speak.
Kev.
And
right,
take care.
All right, love. Bye now.
Thank you. Yeah, I really dearly love to meet David one day. I recently had the wonderful opportunity of meeting David Icke a couple of weeks ago, and that was awesome. He's such a warrior, that guy. And what I was really happy about was I got to personally thank him for the great work that he's done for people need to acknowledge David Icke for what he's actually done for all of us, because he did the hard yards early and paved the way for people like us. So he's I think David needs a bit more acknowledgement in that area for what he's actually done for the rest of us to be able to have these sorts of conversations that we're having. It wouldn't have been as easy if it wasn't for someone like him having done what he's done.
Yeah, he took a lot of ridicule early in life. Live, right in front of him on TV shows. So right on, George, right on. I'm with you on that.
And with David Wilcock, too, I'd really like to meet him one day. I reckon him and I'd have a fascinating conversation. It'd be great. You know, so do I agree with everything David Wilcock says? No. Does David Wilcock agree with what I say? Of course not. And do I agree with everything that David Icke has to say? No. You know, we've got our own personalities and our own perspectives, and it's healthy. It's we're bringing our pieces of the puzzle together. And when you look at the basic ethos of what we're all saying, though, you'd be surprised as how much of it overlaps, that we're all actually essentially saying the same thing. We've just got minor detail about our messages that still appear as though there's great differences, but, you know, as the days go on, those differences are getting less and less.
Stay. Stay, Sue.
I don't know who this is coming from.
Yeah.
Janine, is that your phone? Oh, no, you're on my phone. I guess we have somebody undone, and I don't know who. Oh, I see. Okay. That was before when I was looking for you. Sorry. Okay, good. Goldie needed a little comic relief just for a moment there. But, yeah, I also think it's, you know, we're talking different dimensions. You know what I mean? It's so easy to get, you know, in kind of lost in the wisdom, you know, when, you know, like even I've heard you answer saying, you know, the answer has a yes and a no answer to it. It just depends on which dimension, you know, you're viewing the answer from. So there could be a lot of, you know, in other words, that can happen where we, you know, disagreeing with people because what dimension are they, you know, what perspective are they coming from?
Well, you know, getting back to the David Wilcock issue, you know, the comments that I made about, you know, there's the white hats that I warn people about, it appears as though they're helping us. And on one level they are, because of the paradigm these beings exist in. They're doing the hard work. We got plunged into such a deep negative charge for so long that this positive white energy is coming in now to rebalance the equation.
Right.
What people don't understand is that the whole thing, this whole scenario, is problem, reaction, solution on a cosmic level.
Yeah.
This is the piece of the equation everyone's missing. And, you know, they created the problem. They sent the heavyweights in first to create a very, very difficult and arduous set of circumstances here. So they send in the greys, the reptilians and other insect groups and all the entities that are functioning in that particular arm, in that particular arm of a much larger empire, a much larger paradigm of this equation. And those guys come here first. They create the circumstances we are in. So right at the end, they can send in the other guys, the positive end of the equation of their paradigm, of their empire. So when these other guys come in here and start helping us with all the problems, in quotes, that we seem to have in our world that have actually been created by the same entities very high up in the ranks of this limited paradigm, if you look at it like as a bubble, paradigm, and within that bubble paradigm, you've got multiple levels of realities with so many different races of beings living within these realities. And then what they do is they send these positive white love and light beings from that domain here to provide the solutions to the problems. So what I want to warn people of is just because there's beings that are coming here and it looks like they're helping us, don't give your power over to them, though. Surely do I appreciate the Illuminati being knocked off, you know, that arm of the Illuminati? Of course I do. You know, don't be silly. Of course I do. But what I'm saying is don't be so naive either. Just be very cautious, because we are talking about problem, reaction, solution on a cosmic level.
Yeah.
And that's the point I'm trying to make, because we've got a lot of people that are really, you know, there's a lot of people commenting on the white hats at the moment, and I just want people to be a bit more, not so naive, people to be more cautious about, you know, the first hand that's coming along to help us, because ultimately no one can do it for us. We're the ones that have to do it. And it's really, really, you know, a lot of us are working behind the scenes, you know. We're commenting, we're talking, I'm speaking publicly, but the work that I do behind the scenes is not known and won't be known. It doesn't have to be known. And so there's a lot of, we're working on different levels, you know. My body rests at night, but I'm out there working. I'm interacting. I'm going the other side of the world. I'm still interacting with many beings constantly and doing a lot of hard work. So many people listening to this conversation doing the same thing. So there's a lot of us working very hard behind the scenes, and I just want to say don't be too quick to run to the first bit of good energy, so-called good energy that comes along. I just be a bit more cautious. That's all. That's my recommendation, because things are not what they seem.
I support that. I don't think that message could be said enough, you know, because, you know, exactly like you just said. I mean, people think it's all love and hate. You know, it's like, hello.
Well, I'm not here to put those down either. I'm not here to put these people down and make myself sound so high and mighty. But what I do want to say is, you know, I've lived a lot, and I continue to live a lot. And the magnitude of my experiences is not known. And don't underestimate my perspective. Don't underestimate that so many beings like me and Goldie even, and everybody who knows. I mean, you'd be surprised how many people come from this perspective. They know this within themselves. They're hearing what all these people are reporting on. They know what's coming. They know this problem, reaction, solution issue on the cosmic level. It's not because I've told them. They already intuitively know this. They go, oh, yeah, duh. You know, we knew.
Yeah.
It's not George being high and mighty here. It's being realistic. And all I've got to say is naivety can be very dangerous. So there's a lot of people out in the conspiratorial genre that are commenting, and all I want to say is that they just need to be a bit more careful, because I can see a lot of them that are falling, you know, into favour with these white hats. There's people, the whistleblowers that have come forward that have been in contact with what they consider benevolent extraterrestrial races that are so highly advanced and spiritual in nature, and they're beautiful and they're loving, and these beings have given these people missions, and they're just they've become puppets to these ET races. And of course they come across as loving and advanced spiritually and all that stuff. I've had to deal with them, and you know, there's groups of Nordic races that are do that. That's how they pose on this planet. Come on, you know, already. Let's just not be so naive about things. I mean, we're talking about eons and epochs and eras of evolution in this universe. Just don't underestimate how advanced and how clever some of these realities and these races from these realities have become.
Yeah, the level of deception is quite brilliant, actually.
It's genius. It's nothing short of genius.
Yeah.
you know, and you wanted it. We wanted this level of genius to test us.
Oh, yeah.
So this ain't victimhood. This is owning it. You know, we wanted this.
Yeah. Yeah, bring on the master pool player.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. You ready for another question?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Oh, shucks, I lost my place. Well, let's see. Hi, area code 330, you're on the air.
Hi, George. Hi, Golden. I want to tell you, Golden, I just love you.
Thank you.
You and my sister have so much in common.
Thank you. Every time
I hear you, I think of her. But I wanted to ask George, George, I'm on the forum, and on there my name is We Are All Knowing. I've got a sore throat tonight. And my email name is Manifesting Now, and I'm transcribing your videos. And we are getting such good response. But they're asking me questions, and I'm not sure I know all of them, but one of them I wanted to ask you is, I've known for about 10 years that we have the God mind within us. And didn't you say that in the fifth dimension that there we are using the God mind?
I'll say in the fifth dimension we are the God mind.
Okay. All right, then, you said in your Sydney meeting that there was duality all the way up to, like, the ninth dimension.
Yes.
And I asked about this on the forum, and what they said was that the fifth dimension has the duality is difference of opinions. Now, if we are all working with that God mind, how can there be difference of opinions? I'm not really understanding that.
Sure, yeah. In the lower realms of the fifth, which is the lower realms of heaven, the only thing that can occur there is a difference of opinion. Now, the difference of opinion that is on that level is vastly different to a difference of opinion on this level.
Okay.
You know, the differences are so subtle, but they are there. And I'm just trying to, you know, be realistic and not ideological about it. And when I say duality, this whole universe is dualistic in nature. As long as you have light or vibration, you have duality. It's just that in the higher realms, the rate of frequency of vibration is so high, so fine, that, I mean, even levels in the fourth dimension can, you experience it as bliss. That level of light in the fourth dimension can be experienced as bliss compared to this one. So, you know, we're talking about much, much higher frequencies of reality and states of being. So the differences of opinion occur in the fifth because there are beings who are on their way down. When they start to have these differences of opinion, it's because there's a, their soul is drawing them into the lower domains of the universe. So they start behaving in this way in the fifth. And when beings do have these differences of opinion, then that is the sign that they are now getting drawn down into the lower domains, and they will now, you know, it won't be long before they've got to start really organizing their whole journey into what I'm labeling in my book The Great Arena, which is the fourth and third, second and first dimensions, which are really, you know, the lower domains, the bowels of the universe, so to speak.
Now, are there still people coming down through the dimensions as we ascend up?
Sure, there's beings entering the very top of the universe right now as we speak.
Is that where the difference in opinion, who that difference of opinions are with, those that are coming down?
Now, what happens is the difference of opinion starts to happen in the lower end of the fifth because from what they've experienced thus far, and what they do is on the fifth, they get to somewhat experience the lower domains. It's kind of like you can walk into a restaurant without anyone seeing you, imagine if you're invisible, and you walk into the restaurant, and you look at the menu, and you observe the food being brought out on the table. You can somewhat smell the food, and you can look at the people, look at the way they're reacting and everything, but then you walk back out. You don't actually sit down and engage in that restaurant. You don't sit down, you don't order a meal from the restaurant, you don't eat the food, therefore you're not engaging in that reality. But
okay,
if I can use that as an analogy, so from the fifth, you have these sorts of experiences that start to happen. Now, from those levels of engaging with the lower domains of the universe to that degree, I mean, that observational and engaging to the level where you just get a small fragrance or a small taste of the lower, the realities of the lower domains and what's going on there, from that level of consciousness, the 5D consciousness, you then start to get ideas and opinions about what's going on and the way the Creator structured the realities. And then you start to have ideas that, you know, I don't think this is a really good idea. I think it should be done like that. And the Creator will say to you, well, go on ahead. Go in there and make it what you want it to be, you know. Do it your way and see what happens. And so your journey then starts to be organized for you down into the lower domains of the universe. You can go in there and live it firsthand and experience it and try to make it what you want, you think it should be.
Well, then those difference of opinions would be ongoing experiences for us to learn from, to ascend higher.
I'm trying to get a feel for your question. The differences of opinion that you have in the fifth dimension are your essence starting to get drawn into a more polarized state of being. So therefore,
okay,
you begin to have a more polarized perspective. It just starts to happen as you journey down through the universe. And that the more you have it, the more you get drawn down. It's like a magnetic sort of attraction. And you start
okay
getting pulled more strongly down into the lower domains. That's how it works. Because you're now beginning to experience a more polarized expression of state of being.
Well, I want to thank you for being you.
That's all right, because we're projecting from a much higher level of essence. See, the way I'm explaining it is you have a line, and that line has a sine wave on it, and as the waveform goes along that line, oh, it's hard
okay
to do it verbally, it gets bigger, so the wave gets bigger,
okay,
and that's yourself projecting down into the universe. So from up the top, you're whole and sanctified virtually, and outside the universe, you enter the universe, you first become light. That's your first experience of duality. So you're in this vibration, which is in what you could call the light of God. It is so high and so fine, you wouldn't see it as being duality, but it is. It really is duality. And
okay,
it's vibration. It has to be duality. It's vibration. It can't not be. As long as you have light, you have duality. So there you are at the very top, and your waveform is so fine, you adjust to that, and then what you do is we project down from that level down to the next. So that next level of expression, the waveform is bigger and your expression is more polarized. And then from there you project down to the next one. And so as
okay
we're up the top and we're looking down into the universe, we're projecting aspects down to one level, and then from that level we project again, and then from that level we project yet again. And
okay
the waveform gets bigger each time. And we also start to fragment into multiple aspects, and the waveforms of those aspects are getting bigger and bigger. Therefore, the waveform gets slower, and the expression gets more dense. The realities
okay
get more dense. And when we get to the fifth, it gets to a point where you start to have a difference of opinion with those around you. It just starts to happen. But when I say difference of opinion, it is so subtle compared to this reality. I mean, so subtle. It's hard to put into words on this level of reality, you know, the bigger picture
mm-hmm.
of life. But I'm just trying to do the best I can with what words we got. Yeah.
I understand pretty much now what you're saying. I think I had a different thinking about duality. Like this.
Yeah, people
third
tend
dimension.
To think that duality is, yeah, people think that Earth is duality and everything else is not. That's
right.
Just, Earth is this extreme compressed version of duality, sure. But this whole universe is duality. The whole universe, it's light, it's vibration. So it has to be dualistic. It can't not be.
Okay. I hope you get the feeling better.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that.
And Golden, I want you to know I love you dearly.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Tonight, I'm really just wrapping myself in the kindness of others. Thank you.
Oh, well, that we all need that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you very much, George.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed talking to you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep you posted about the transcripts because it's going directly to the religious people.
Woo!
Oh, wow.
And
amazing.
I mean, I kind of dreaded it a little bit when I started, but they're starting to ask questions, which shows that there is some sort of awakening there, or they wouldn't even be bothering, I don't think.
Yeah, and you know what? You'll be surprised at how much similarity in the message I give there is to the ones that really understand the true teachings. You'll be surprised. When I was doing my talk in Slovenia, we had a group of people there that were from a Catholic university there, theological university. They said to me, you know, what you're saying is so similar to what we're being taught. And
mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, there's a lot of similarities. There has to be. I said, but it's the subtle differences that is something to be aware of. And, they were really good. They didn't chastise me or anything. It was a very, very, they were being true Christians, put it this way, in that sense. They were very, they were allowing me to express myself without judging me.
Last study that I sent out was explaining who and what we are. And this one man that is getting these transcripts, and I'm sure he's watching the videos, he did email me and he said, you know, he's kind of saying the same thing. And I said, well, it is. It's just that he's had more experience where we haven't, and it's hard to understand. But I'm really thrilled with it, and I just thank you for coming into my life.
Well, you know, it takes a lot of courage for you to do what you're doing. I'm actually quite in awe of what you're doing. And,
I felt led to do that.
Mm.
I mean, I've stopped sending out any teachings at all. I'm just transcribing. And, it's just when something's a part of you, it's a part of you. And I just felt really led to do it. So thank you. I won't keep you any longer because I know there's a lot of people want to talk to you.
Well, thank you, too.
Thank you so
very
much.
Appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
So, George, someone had a question, and they actually got it to me from Facebook, and it's kind of interesting. They want to know if you can let us know when you walk through your fifth dimensional portal for the first time anyways.
Yeah, when it does happen, yeah. I hope I can. Whether I will be able to or not, I'm not sure.
Okay. I'd love to do an interview with you as, you know, a fifth dimensional being. I can just imagine the comments we'd get at that point.
Yeah.
Right?
That's an interesting concept. I haven't thought about letting people know. I did have an experience where I was in the presence of someone that I know, and I said to them, it's time for me to go. I've got to go back to Avalon. And I basically just receded back through this reality into Avalon, and this person's mouth, the jaw literally hit the floor, and their eyes were just wide open because they saw me dematerialize in front of them and disappear out of this reality through an opening. So these are the sorts of things we'll be doing, because we'll be bilocating around the planet. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah, I have a few people I'd like to visit.
As
a fifth-dimensional being.
Well, it's going to happen because, you know, some people need the physical proof, and eventually
right.
we're going
right.
to supply it for them. It's just going to be, we're just going to have that capacity to function in this way. It's just going to be that way.
Right on.
We're not going to
okay,
be like this
right.
going around the world doing our big, great work. It's just not...
Right.
We're going to go to a whole new level, you know, where these other energies will be trying to do all these things to people, and we're just going to go around doing what we need to do, and they can't touch us.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a... You know, we're coming into it, which is kind of exciting. I mean, in all honesty, that, you know, the great work is... Because it's like I've known I was going to do some great work my whole life. I really, and it really is, you know, sometimes you get afraid to say that because, you know, people are like, you know, well, you know, gosh, you're a nanny and, you know, what you got a, you know, a little radio show. Like, you know, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, you know, they look at where we are now, and at least from my perspective, and, you know, it's like I can't tell you why I know this. I just know my whole life I knew I would do something that would, quote unquote, heal the world. But not from the way that I was thinking. I was, you know, because I used to go around laying my hands on everybody, literally, and after I watched V, clearly got, I was blissing them out. And I'm like, oh, no, can't do that. You know, God knows, I know that. And that was my reptilian, too, going, you know, yeah, pump them, man, pump them. And to be honest, I was quite good at it. He laughed at me.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, is that George?
I can't believe you're saying this stuff. Unbelievable. Well, there's a whole lot more to laying on hands than people realize. And, you know, I think that's where V was good. A lot of the New Agers would go, no, they're just, it's reverse psychology. They're trying to get you to stop laying your hands on because they want you to think it's something evil and it's not. And it's kind of like, well, you know, I still lay my hands on Cynthia at times, but the energy comes from my heart, from me, my core of my being. It doesn't come from anywhere else. So you can still lay your hands on people. Just make sure the energy is coming from your... You can call it, which is the label I'm using in my book, it's our whole and sanctified essence.
Yeah.
See, it's undivided. It's that part of you that is whole and sanctified. It's completely beyond even the construct of light. It is just so pure. And... you come from that level of yourself. I mean, it's just so beyond everything.
Because is that almost like, because what I did towards the end of what I was doing, like, you know, I learned Reiki like you, and what I started doing was I would just expand my I am field to include them on the table. So my I am would meet their I am.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
And it was clearly affecting them. You know, they were getting off the table, and I was like, how do you feel? And they're like, well, you know, I feel pretty relaxed. It's like, all right, right on.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's just when people use other energies, when you bring it externally, you know, and that's what Reiki, unfortunately, is an external thing. You bring it in universal, they label it universal light, you know, through the crown chakra. Well, hang on a minute. You know, what's that all about? That's what you got to ask. Why does it have to enter through the crown? So it comes down through the pineal, you know, and then to the heart. What's going on there? Because it should be emanating from your core to the heart, not from the mind to the heart. Because the heart chakra of the seven body chakra system is the positive white love and light energy.
Yeah.
You've got to go to the deep, your deeper heart. It's deeper inside of you. It's a different level of love altogether, and you go deeper into your body. I mean, the chakra body is a fragmented state of being. It's 4D construct. It's not 5D and above. which we've discussed before, but it just seems to be need to be said again. Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of things need to be said several times. I was telling Janine, they're like toddlers. You know, you just got to keep repeating it because at some point it's meant to click.
Mm.
Okay, you ready for another question?
Sure.
Another caller? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Skype? I'm on Skype. If you're on Skype, can you talk? Okay. Wait a minute. I'm trying to get the Skypers because they don't know have one. Hello, Skype.
Good.
I hear something.
Mm-hmm. Have a great night.
Hello?
Happy Halloween weekend. Okay.
I don't think they're listening to their phone. Okay.
Wow.
That one went away. Mm-hmm. All right. I had a gentleman who was asking me to, you know, we have so many Skypes, I don't know which Skype he is. And I'm going to take another caller, and I'll ask the gentleman to type his question in the chat room because I don't know how to deal with this problem. So I'm going to just go to somebody who's been on the phone for a while. Okay, I think this person's from Canada. Area code 905, you're on the air. Hello? 905? We're losing people. They're dropping like flies.
It's all right.
They ran out of energy. They got tired of yelling at me.
I'm getting an intuitive feeling. Janine needs to ask me a question.
Oh.
Oh, really?
I love it.
That's lovely.
That is lovely.
Well, actually, you know, I've been thinking today a lot about and the naivety and the willingness to really open up and let go of the naivety of what people think, you know, how it is to be, I guess, of a high level. I don't know. I think a lot of it is naive. And you mentioned that word tonight, and I really... I was really appreciative of that because I think that this is a subject that I like to talk about to people, and I liked hearing you say it. If you could ever talk some more on that.
Yeah, it's and naivety blends into also our it's the way our love is being used against us, and it's our innocence, and it's targeting the wounded child within each of us, and that abandonment issues we have for coming into a reality that's so separated. So there's a few different elements and dynamics that are involved with this subject of being naive. And I say to people that, you know, it's been a long, hard enough expression because the naivety's that we experience is this trusting, this innocence, trusting from this place of innocence. And unfortunately, there are still so many beings that want to take advantage of that innocence, that wounded child, that they want to take our love and they want to use it against us for their purposes. And yeah, I don't know how else to voice that at this point in time, but they're the different variables in that equation that are being used. Mm.
Yeah. When you talk about, though, you know, in the beginning of the conversation too, about being real and getting centered, and you know, it's just what I'm feeling lately too, and you know, just that coming into a more centered place and letting go of a certain naivety about what is going on. You know, and I've noticed that lately being strong in me.
The reason that's getting stronger in so many of us is because of the deception that's about to be played in the public arena.
I feel that. Yes.
You know, we're starting to click in a gear here. You know what I mean? And so many of us are starting to feel this. Hang on a minute, you know. I'm going to be a bit more cautious about this, and so we're preparing. Our higher selves are actually, our greater beings are preparing us for what's about to happen, what's about to transpire.
Right on.
Yeah.
You watch how many people, you watch, honestly, how many people are just going to go, yeah, this is fantastic, this is it, we're finally free. You watch. How many people around
I
you
I can already
that?
See it. I can already see it coming. I can. I can totally see it coming.
Because they want to see that? Is that the, because they want to
because
see
we
that?
Are yearning for it. We are aching
yeah.
for it. We are virtually begging for it. And that's the situation they wanted to create. Plunge the earth into a negative charge, you know, for thousands and thousands of years. Systematically do it, you know. So we're not just experiencing it from our level of awareness on this one lifetime. Our DNA has been marinating in misery, you know, for centuries,
yeah,
for millennia. It's the you know, our essence is sitting inside a human embodiment whose genetic code is programmed that way as well. It's not just our own individual personalities. So we're having to deal with the bloodlines we're incarnated into, that whose you know, genes have been marinating in this stuff for thousands of years. So it's really deeply entrenched, and people are begging for freedom, for relief and release from this dogma and this oppression. And that's what these other beings are just using it. They're milking it for all it's worth. So, yeah, good cop, bad cop.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's it. But I've been feeling that, you know, this wake up, stop being naive, you know.
It's that despotism too. They create this despotism, and when people are desperate, when they're begging for it, then people are just like putty in their hands.
Mm.
You know, so
that's
we just got to be
called,
not
they're
so
called
naive.
Addicts. That's what addicts are
yeah.
like. I know
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. We've all been addicts one way or another in our lives.
Yeah.
We've all had that, whether it's chocolate, whether it's alcohol, whether it's harder drugs, whether it doesn't matter what, whether it's shopping, whether it's whatever, whether it's
or attention.
An obsession.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes in many forms. So we've all had that in our lives. So we know what that feels like. And I'll tell you what, they so want that dependency. They want to create circumstances where we are dependent on them. And the whole point is we are no longer require their services. Thank you very much. But we can take
yeah.
over from here.
Sorry, Timmy, yell in your ear. had to woo that one. I'm very excited. This is what I see. That's for me with the ascension. The ascension isn't coming into a blissful state. The ascension is sovereignty. Just leave me to me, and I'm happy. I'll, you know, and I still want to interact and come on people's planets and stars and universes. But I just want an organic experience, and I want my energy to be mine and mine alone. That really is very freedom.
But the
very
irony, but the way it works, Gold, is that when you are truly sovereign, you are then one with the all. That's the way it works. So the more you go within yourself, and the more you become sovereign and independent, the more you end up connecting with the all and realizing that you are everything. We are all one in that sense. So it has this, because we're in a dualistic universe, that's what ends up happening.
Yeah, the more selfish I become, the more I become everything. That's wonderful. Let's try and get one more caller in, because he's been waiting patiently, and I actually found my Skype person, if that's okay?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, if I can... Okay, Dean... Pulse or pause? You're on.
Hi, folks. Can you hear me?
Yay! We can hear you.
This is
hi,
incredible. This is truly incredible. Hi, Goldie. Hi, George. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Dean.
Very well, thanks, Dean.
This is great. George, I've been following you for quite a couple of years. I kind of feel like I'm a bit of an oldie. I think I'll start out with my question, really, is, you know, doing so much behind the scenes, And, you know, I just want to know how much of that is that going to come out, you know, in this reality in the next year, if any of it? Or do we really just have to sit back and just watch the show?
Yeah, we'll continue to work behind the scenes, and it'll get to the point where we'll be doing it full time. So you won't be going to your job. You know, things will change, and that's what Cynthia and I are finding. And our lives have changed dramatically over the last little while, and continue to change. And so expect my recommendation is embrace change. If you can embrace change, then you won't have so many issues. But don't expect your life to continue in the way it has, and expect change. That's probably the best advice I can give you. Yeah.
Great. I think some people know it. I mean, you know, we go to sleep at night, we're doing something pretty incredible, and then, you know, you're upholding the status quo, and it's just complete opposite.
You're breaking
up
a little bit.
Yeah, it is. The irony of it all. And that's the capacity we have to walk between the worlds, to walk between dimensions, realities, and worlds, and even universes. So.
Yeah, so you're allowed to have a tantrum, George.
If you want to have a spit, have a bit of a spit. Enough.
Exactly.
When I'm having a spit, I'm only getting upset with myself, really, so that's... You know, that's who I'm having a spit to, is really me, the greater aspect of me. But you're allowed to do that, you know? No one says you're not allowed to.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
so when we change, we'll be in a greater capacity, and we will be going to certain places and meeting with certain people, and instead of doing it sort of when your body lays to rest and you go manifest another body and move around the planet that way, you'll be doing it as the person you are now. And we'll be working in a much greater capacity. And each one of us has our own specialize in an area of life. We have our own vocation, an area of life that we are more proficient at than others. And so what we're naturally good at, what our natural abilities are, is what we will be doing and functioning in those areas. So some people are more on technologically... they're good with technology, others are good with social, others are good with healing illnesses and health, and others, you know, we all specialize in different areas.
All right. Thanks, George. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Dean.
Have a great night.
Yeah, you too, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Okay, we have room for one more. I just want to. I have a surprise for you at the end of the show, George. So we just have to leave 3 minutes. So just so you know, we have 9 minutes left. Because I really want to play the surprise for you. So
okay.
I'm going to take another call, and because I get it, we are going to soak every ounce of minutes we have. And I'm going to look for somebody who's been on hold for a long time. Who is? Here you go. Area code, I can't read that, I need my glasses. Area code 786.
Hello, this is 786.
Hi.
Hello, George. Hello, Goldie.
Hey.
Hello.
Okay, I am actually impressed that I have been able to get through to you after listening to you for the last probably year. I'd like to say thank you again to Goldie, and I enjoy very much every time she does interviews with you because of her special way of putting things to the forefront, and her experiences and all are very interesting and extremely enjoyable. I do learn a lot from her and from you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I'm calling you from the country of Venezuela. And it's going to be the headquarters of duality, per se, where part of the world is going one direction and the other part is going onto the other direction. I think we are ahead compared to the United States, probably some 15 years as far as that route is concerned. I believe that they're beginning to go into that direction, or at least they're beginning to feel. Now, as seeing how how everything is becoming, part of it is becoming a reality to each and everyone in its own dimension or world or way of viewing things, and it's also becoming a different reality, per se, for simplistic ways to put it, positive and negative. So some people are going one way and some people are going another way. Now, seeing all of that happening and everything that appears to be coming ahead into the future, my question is, how do we know that we're actually moving onto another different frequency of existence in ourselves and not having a dual body, per se, one of me is going one direction of frequency and the other one is going onto another dimension of frequency and one does not know of the first? In other words, am I also splitting myself into frequencies, or if I go into a different frequency, I should go as a whole? And how do I know about that? Thank you.
Okay, that's a really, really good question. My answer to that question is that is exactly the process that we have done as we ventured down through the universe, and we projected and fragmented ourselves to the point where aspects on the negative charge were not aware of aspects on the positive charge. So I've already gone through that process, and I'm actually here bringing that back into balance. So I'm reintegrating the divided aspects of negative and positive. So what I feel is the negative and positive aspects of me are now coming together. That's what I'm experiencing. That's what I'm feeling within myself. While the reality around me and other people are seem to be going more into the positive or more into the negative, I'm walking that middle path, and I'm reintegrating and rebalancing my positive and negative. That's what I'm experiencing, and that's the path that I'm heading towards. And it appears as though things are becoming more divided because this reality is really compressing. It's compressing and it's compressing, calling it the big squeeze. And so the duality we're experiencing is becoming really intense. So you've got this appearance as though things are becoming more divided. And they are, because in one way, from one perspective, they're becoming more divided. But at the same time, that more intense version of duality and that compression is the challenge for us to hold center, to reintegrate that positive and that negative, and not allow ourselves to be split into two.
I put him on hold. So
yeah, if that helps to answer the question, yeah.
Thank you for calling from Venezuela. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, we were right from Venezuela. That's fantastic.
That was a brilliant question.
Genius. Oh, the best for last. I want to make sure that I have time to say thank you so much, George. Come in, not feeling good and still doing the 3 hours. What a trooper. Thank you. Janine, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
I've actually
thank
felt
you,
better
George.
This last hour, believe it or not. I actually, I felt better this last hour than I did the first
nice.
Two.
Nice. Oh, you see, maybe they were all right, that you should have been taking calls. Because I was thinking, though, maybe we should just have a show one time and just the whole 3 hours take calls, because that would certainly eliminate all the violence.
I just heard people in the chat room going, yay!
So, okay, if you're willing to do that, I'm happy to give you the platform to do it. And we'll do, we'll do phone the last hour only, and the first couple hours they can be in the chat room, and I'm happy to do that. So,
We'll see how it goes. I've got to organize with my forum moderators. We're going to have another Q&A soon on the forum, so I've got to prioritize
perfect.
That one. Yeah.
Perfect. Yes.
Yeah.
perfect. So there you go. You guys, George has a forum. Join the forum.
I don't run it myself, but there are people who are really good people who are doing a wonderful job in keeping that going. It's amazing what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And a lot of kind people. Okay, so I'm going to play for you something. It's only 42 seconds, but this is for you, George, and Janine, actually, the people that helped me be me.
Oh.
Love you all.
Gotta go.
Oh, bye.
I'm so glad we had time together.
It's these people I found singing Carol Burnett's Closing. They were having such a good time. I go, I gotta use it for the closing tonight.
That was fantastic.
It just captured all of it, no matter what. And you know, I'm just so appreciative to you, George. Truly, your wisdom, your presence, Janine, your wisdom and your presence. You know, we're coming down the pike to some amazing, amazing times coming ahead, and I could not be happier with the circle of beings that I have around me. I mean, I'm a very blessed person, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you too, Goldie. We're quite blessed to have you in our presence as well. I assure you of that. That's for sure. And thank you, Janine. Yeah,
thank you,
for your support behind the scenes. Yeah, it's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's my rock. She's
great.
Mm-hmm. I feel well, George.
Yes, yes. Go rest, go drink tea. Big hug to Cynthia when she gets home from all of us for sharing you with the world. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Have an amazing day.
I just want to say, too, just quickly, just all the people that send me emails and stuff, I'm just so sorry. I'm really, really trying to answer as many as I can, but it's a bit of a challenge at the moment, so I just want to apologise there and just thank everybody for the interest that they have in what I have to say. It's very much appreciated. Thank you.
You rock, babe. You rock. All right. Until we meet again, Monday night, everybody. We'll be there, me and Janine, on the Mystical Mother Earth Show. Everybody take care.
Good night.
Love
from
you.
New Jersey.
Good night. Love you guys.
Good night.
Good night, George.